Say something, goddammit. You're on television. You're live to the whole world.
Hello and welcome to another movie podcast. Welcome back, Ashley, to another movie podcast. My name is Oscar, and with me only today is
Luke.
And by today, I mean just for this segment. And of course, you got me, Oscar. Ralph is not available due to scheduling mix-up. We just couldn't get all of us together for every recording.
Ay, caramba.
But fear not, he will be in the next two segments of the show, the last two segments. But the opening is Luke and myself here. We're stuck together. This is episode number 195, our return episode, and we're going to talk about not any reviews of movies. We're going to discuss the Academy Awards, the Oscars, primarily. Obviously, this is coming out after the Oscars, but we recorded a segment before, I think, the Friday or Thursday before.
Something like that.
Before the event, we recorded a segment where we discussed the nominations and stuff, just to have a before and after in the same show. We thought that would be fun, see what we might have predicted right or not. That segment's all three of us. And then this is our catch-up show, basically, the opening. We're going to talk about the movies we've seen over the last two and a half months, thereabouts.
Yeah, give or take.
We're going to talk about some of the stuff we've been watching. All new. Most of it from this year, if not all of them. I think it's for one or two. And we'll see how far we get. That's really it, you know, but without further ado, let's just get into it. Unless you want to say something as to how you've been the last 3 months, anything you want to mention? All right.
Well, obviously I worked a lot cause that's just like my staple.
Yes.
I did see some cool concerts. I flew out to Boston to see a buddy's band play.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
A quick trip, then I'll fly in Friday afternoon and pretty much come back 48 hours later.
Was that worth it? Was it fun?
Oh, yeah. Then saw my favorite band, High Spirits. They did a show in Chicago, which was always a great thing.
Nice.
With another band called Bear Mace. They were pretty cool. Yeah.
Bear Mace, and, like the weapon or the spray?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, the spray, I guess.
You know, I was thinking of a mace, the old-fashioned mace.
Well, it's spelled the same, so.
Yeah. No, I know. That's what I'm saying. That's great.
And then I was able to finally go see a band that I've known since, like, my growing up, because they were like one of the the godfathers of death metal in Poland.
Okay.
And they were called Vader, and that's a band I knew since probably like fifth or sixth grade.
I think you might have mentioned them to me. It sounds
probably
familiar.
Have and I've never seen them live until now. They had a 40-year anniversary tour. 40. I was like, man, I gotta see them before they start croaking off, you know?
Right.
So and they did this awesome, cool set thing where they went from like the beginning of their discography all the way to like the new stuff.
Hmm.
So it was like an eras thing. So it was awesome. So I saw like all the cool shit that they did before I got into them, the stuff I really liked when I got into them, and then the stuff that I kind of fell off towards the end.
That's a lot. That must have been a lot of work.
Yeah.
A big set. Sounds like a big set.
Yeah. It was a cool show though. So
awesome. On my end, nothing crazy. I just came back from Miami for a wedding. Ooh. My first time in Miami, 80-something degrees and humidity over there.
Oh, yeah, the humidity is brutal.
Yeah. I didn't sweat right away, but with the suit and the wedding and the tie and the stuff, and we were as outdoors the wedding, so I did sweat there for sure.
Sounds like a masochist thing. Jesus, outdoor in Miami?
A little bit. You know, I tried getting myself into an energy to get drunk and enjoy the evening, and I never could.
It would be too hot and miserable to do anything.
No, I don't think it was that. I think it's all mood and instinct and different day, different dollar kind of thing. I just wasn't, you know, in the mood. But it was otherwise fine. It was a fun experience. It was Airbnb, very traditional. I was with my roommate, so we were roommating in the Airbnb too. So
nice.
Not much change there. Managed to see the Oscars on the airport because there was like massive delays both in Miami. Yeah. We lost. So there's a layover in LaGuardia, right? And so we were delayed in Miami. So we missed our connecting flight. And there was like, there are no other flights. We were worrying like, oh my God, what's going to happen? And then they added a flight late that day, which was also pushed back. So I was in LaGuardia for like 5 hours. I don't remember how long. I got home around midnight. I was supposed to be home like at 5 p.m. or something.
Oof, brutal.
Yeah. No, not that brutal. I read like a book and a half. I sort of got. I watched all the Oscars at the airport. Like I was
You made your time work.
I did a lot of walking. I just like did a lot of walking in LaGuardia, checked out the entire, well, obviously just the airport, but all the stuff they had there. I almost bought stuff from the Lego store there. Oh my God, so many times I almost bought stuff. I didn't. I also, where am I going to put it, you know? So yeah, anyway, on to the show here. We have a lot of recent discoveries. Four of our picks are connected. Why don't you start with the first one, and we'll tag team.
All right, the first movie is Argylle.
That's right. Did we see this together?
No, I think we went completely separately.
I'm just asking at this point because I never
Argylle remember. With two L's.
Yeah, so A-R-G-Y-L.
No,
I'm kidding.
No. Directed by Matt Vaughn of the Kingsman.
Yeah, he's a Kingsman guy. Yes. He's X-Men First Class. Is that him? Or am I
You know what? He might be. Honestly, I don't kind of forgot. God. But let me do who cares? Who cares? Starring, you know, the obviously like Henry Cavill, Bryce Dallas Howard, and Sam Rockwell, Bryan Cranston, people like Dua Lipa.
Yeah, she's in this movie.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I really don't know who that is. But...
She's a pop singer.
Yeah, that's why. John Cena.
That's right. For a little minute, he's in this.
Yeah. So, fun. Honestly, I thought it was a fun movie. I enjoyed it. Yes, I guess I like Matthew Vaughn's style of these like Kingsman type movies.
Oh yeah, you like the ice skating?
The ice skating was cool. And then the whole thing with the smoke. Yeah. That was like
honestly
those are very memorable scenes.
Yeah, I would say though those two scenes. I love those two scenes. I kind of wish that the movie reflected more of those two scenes rather than
Those two. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
like I feel like the movie is trying to be serious when it's always goofy, and I'm like, why not just stick to goofy or stick to serious? You know, or pick. You know,
yeah.
The beginning, the premise of this movie makes no fucking sense at all whatsoever. It all falls apart.
Honestly, the plot twist kind of got me. One of them. The other one, I was like, I know that's going to happen.
If it's what I think it is, then yes. The father figure? I'm just going to say that. Yes.
That one was predictable. The father figure, that one got me.
Yeah. That's the one I didn't... That was cool. I liked that too. It was an overall... Don't get me wrong. I had fun. I didn't take it too seriously. But it also doesn't make a fucking sense at all. It doesn't make any fucking sense. Like,
And then they link it to, I guess,
I thought the movie is like, is this about like emotional trauma? Is this girl deluded? Or, like, what is? What am I watching? You know,
I have no idea.
And like, why would she see herself as a guy? Or is this like a play on that? Is it a gender thing? Like, nope, none of those things. Yeah. Just Henry Cavill. All right, so that was a weird, fun movie. Mildly recommend because it's bonkers.
If you like The Kingsman, and I guess this is tied into it in a way.
I hated that, actually. I didn't like that thing.
Okay.
But that's me, though. But I think The Kingsman is a little more coherent, personally. It's also bonkers, but it's logical bonkers, you know?
Okay.
Anyway, let's go on to the next one here, because we're rapid firing. We have a lot here.
Yeah.
So we're going to do The Beekeeper next.
The Beekeeper, yes. The Keeper
of the Bees. One man's brutal campaign for vengeance takes on a national stakes after he is revealed to be a former operative of a powerful and clandestine organization known as Beekeepers. Directed by David Ayer, by the way. Ayer. That guy's in a lot of movies that everyone's seen or heard of.
Oh, yeah, like End of Watch.
Right. Suicide Squad, which is not revered at all, but there it is. Fury, Training Day. That's his biggest movie, probably. He didn't direct that movie. He wrote it.
Yeah.
He wrote that movie. Antoine Foucault.
He wrote your favorite line.
Which line is that?
The one about running a train.
What line?
There was a line in Training Day where he says something like he's going to get like somebody to like run a train on his girlfriend or something.
Whoa. No, I don't remember that at all.
Oh, that's like, I'm pretty sure that was that movie. I'm going to have to rewatch it.
I'm sure you're right. No, maybe you're right. I didn't memorize that movie enough to know what you mean yet, you know.
I think you're the one that pointed that one out to me, though. That's the funny part.
Then past Oscar was funny and more insightful.
You like trains. What can I say?
What can I say? I'm a big locomotive kind of guy. Let's see. This movie... I thought was more fun and bonkers fun than Argylle for me. Like, I found The Beekeeper to be much more entertaining. He is a character, he's a character that reminds me of Denzel Washington in that one, what's that trilogy he just
Equalizer?
Finished? Equalizer.
That is exactly what I thought. Yeah.
He's untouchable. Like, he is OP compared to everyone. So, like, that sucks in a way because there's no stakes, really, for the guy. But, like, if you want to see badass kind of Jason Statham, that's what you get.
He still got it. But I hated the thing where he had, like, there was that one scene where they had all these, like, CIA guys or all these secret operative guys, and they're like, with all you together, you might stand a chance. And I was like, oh, that's so cringy.
Yeah, no, that's some bad dialogue.
Yeah, so it's that type of movie, I guess. So,
yeah.
Still a fun watch. No, no. So some of the ways he kills people is pretty creative.
Some of them, yeah. I wish he used more B type of stuff. Yeah. He just used
bonks him on the head with a jar of honey.
Yeah, yeah. Do something with honey. Do something with hiving. I don't know.
All right. Next movie that we saw together would be Driveaway Dolls.
Yes.
And that movie, I had very little expectations. And holy shit, that was such a fun movie.
I think these movies are getting better, in my opinion. This is better, I feel, than last two.
I know it's Ethan Coen directed it and wrote it, but it's not another brother. Yeah.
Yeah, the other brother is not involved.
Yeah, but oh my God, that movie was hilarious. And the three of us saw it together.
That one,
and I think we all agreed, like, this movie was absurd, rude, crude, and just everything it needed to be.
And super highly, like, a horny movie.
Oh my God. I was not expecting any of that horniness, because the two main protagonists are lesbians. They're not, like, seeing each other. One's in a ex-relationship, the other one's in, like, a single, doesn't want to meet, but yeah, they are complete opposites of each other.
Yeah. And yeah, it's like almost like it's a road trip movie, technically. And it's like, it's set in the, early 1999, I think.
Yeah.
And,
early 90s. Yeah.
Yeah. And, oh, early? I thought
it was early 90s.
I might be wrong. I believe you. And, there's this concept, I guess, I never heard of, called driveway, services, where, like, you borrow someone's car to a location specifically that you ideally are going to, that they need something dropped off. That's I never heard of this service before.
Same. That is,
I don't know if it's real or made up for the movie. I know it could be just made up for the movie. That's what I like about it. I don't know. These characters are just like, the dialogue is like a snappy. I found it, you know, unique, which is a very Coen thing. They do dialogue really well.
1,000%.
And this one is more, I would say that it seems to me like this Coen brother is responsible for maybe a lot of the snappy dialogue in their history. Like, you know, this movie is closer to Burn After Reading and Oh Brother, Where Art Thou than it is like Blood Simple or No Country for Old Men. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel it has that much more rapid fast quality. It has a more of a funny aesthetic to it, maybe more of a Raising Arizona, maybe something like that. It's goofy. It's not goofy, but it's like lowercase goofy. I like the movie a lot. Margaret Qualley is pretty good as a crazy horny lesbian that's sleeps with.
Oh yeah, she's hilarious. The shit that comes out of her mouth, her or her ex girlfriend, the cop,
Yeah,
Beanie Feldstein. Oh my God, fucking
yeah. I forgot what was movie. Do I know that high school movie I saw once? I don't remember. Yeah, the mystery and so on. Like the movie's more brutal too, and not just sexually, just brutal.
Booksmart.
Some violent stuff too. Booksmart, that's a movie. There's a lot of it's a very brutal movie for sure. And this is great reveal, let's say, in a suitcase that I thought was really good. Really
funny. Oh my God, that suitcase reveal was
I loved it.
No way in the hell would I have thought that was it.
Right. In a million years and a million guesses. And I think it all kind of makes sense by the end. I kind of got what the movie was kind of saying. And I'm like, that's a cool little story. And I dug it. So, I recommend this one for sure. It's still kind of in theaters. It's about to leave, though. If it's still on, it's like the last leg.
Yeah, probably.
But check it out when it comes out on.
Because I think it was only the three of us for that entire theater.
Yes, it was.
When we went, so.
Yeah, we're the last ones. All right, next up here, we have Dune Part 2, The Dunening.
Duner.
How you doing? Paul Atreides unites with Chani and the Fremen while seeking revenge against the conspirators who destroyed his family. This is obviously the infinitely much awaited sequel. How did this feel for you? Did it feel like a complete thing? Do you feel satisfied with the weight and everything? No?
There needs to be a part 3.
Well, I mean, okay, well, Maybe I'll ask that question in a second, but do you feel like this movie was satisfying compared to the kind of the movie we got last time?
It was satisfying up until the very end when I realized, oh man.
Well, they're not done.
Paul's not the good guy.
Oh, yes.
I know nothing about Dune aside from the 1980 whatever movie. I saw that a couple years back.
Yeah.
I think right after the first Dune came out.
You're talking about the David Lynch Dune?
The David Lynch Dune, yeah. And I thought, like, Paul was like this hero, and I'm like, oh, cool, he's going to be badass. And I'm like, that would kind of shift.
Yikes.
Yeah, so then I kind of did a little bit into the reading of the plot without spoiling it for myself.
Right.
So I guess there's another book called Dune Messiah that kind of...
Yeah, Messiah. It's like, apparently those two are really integral. Like, I think the guy wrote three books and then his son
wrote... he wrote a shit ton more, dude.
No, he wrote three, died, and then his son wrote many more, I think.
Did he? I thought he's still alive.
Frank Herbert? I think he died. He wrote this in the 60s, bro. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, you're... Okay, I guess he was just being credited on all the other books that were written.
Yes, but that sounds right.
Yeah, he in 1986, he croaked.
Yep, sounds right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so his son has been writing more of the novels after that. There's a shit ton, and they get crazy, apparently, really weird.
But oh, yeah, these are prequels that are like thousands of years in the past.
An interview did say that if this movie does well and everything aligns well enough, that Denis Villeneuve could do Dune Messiah. Would have no problem doing it.
I thought he pitched it. I read that he pitched it originally as a 3-movie project.
Oh, I don't know about that. I'm just saying that if this goes well, then there's a good chance he'll get greenlit.
I'm hoping.
But everyone's watching this movie. It's everywhere on TikTok. It's everywhere, you know.
And it's funny because we just watched Blade Runner 2047, which is one of his movies.
That's right. For the first time you saw it, right?
This man loves sand.
He does love sand.
And those yellow tints and sepia tones.
And also Sicario takes place in the desert.
He did not do Sicario as well.
He did?
Are you serious?
Yes, of course.
Oh my God.
You didn't know that?
No.
He did Sicario. Yeah, I love that movie.
The first one or the second one?
The first one. The second one he did not do.
Thank the Lord.
And it's not a good movie.
Yeah.
Anyway, Dune 2. I thought it was a pretty good sequel.
He did Arrival.
He also did Arrival.
Enemy Prisoners. Dude, this guy, I
know, he's like a batting almost 1,000 here, except for Prisoners. I don't like Prisoners. But I like, I even like his French-Canadian work, too, Polytechnic. I've seen
Polytechnique.
That.
Polytechnique.
Okay, Polytechnique. And what's that other one, The Fire?
August 32nd of On Earth or Maelstrom?
Maelstrom. Incendies. There's another one. What am I thinking
Incendies.
That's Incendies. On Sunday. Yeah, On Sunday. That's the one I've seen. Own it. It's on my iTunes, I think. So you should check it out. Anyway, back to the movie. I think it was a great sequel. I think it does feel like it completes the story that it's trying to say. Mm-hmm. And yeah, Paul is not a hero.
Yeah.
Apparently there's some change. I never read the books, but I hear there's some valuable changes that I think people like overall from the books to not just modernize it, but to make it a little more coherent. I dug it. The action was fun. It was some great sound design in this movie. Visuals are fucking great. I saw it in the biggest screen I could find. Not an IMAX, but a big one. It was an experience. It's a long movie, but I thought it was really worth it. I could have done another hour, honestly, enjoying it. That's how much I liked the plot stuff. I liked the political stuff. Mm-hmm. I even didn't mind, what's the king's name? The actor who plays him?
Of who?
The king. King.
The king, his grandfather? Christopher Walken, right?
Christopher Walken, yes. That's what I meant.
Oh, okay.
Because I thought he was kind of like doing...
That's his grandfather.
I don't know about that. No. His grandfather is the Baron, bro. Isn't that?
No, Christopher Walken, the Emperor, I think is his grandfather.
Huh. Is that true? I don't know. Maybe I forgot. Whatever.
All right.
Anyway, him. Because I thought he was kind of phoning it in, but like he didn't seem to be doing much.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I thought he was still fine. Anyway, Dune 2 was a lot of fun. Everyone's hailing it. I'm hailing it too.
Oh, even fucking Austin Butler? That guy looked fucking crazy. Like that's...
Yeah, I barely recognize him, actually.
I think he said like in an interview, like he didn't even recognize himself.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah.
So, I don't blame the kid.
Yeah, he's blowing up. He's popping up everywhere, too, these days.
So that happens when you look like Elvis.
Yeah, I guess so. and can sing like him. All right. Those are the four that we've seen. I'm gonna throw one in here, and then you throw one of yours, right?
All right.
Just to make it a little more whatever. I saw a movie called All of Us Strangers, a movie that I really wanted to see before the end of the year, and I couldn't. I couldn't. I did research it, though. It does technically count as last year's movie because it was released in Chicago. It was just like an art house theater. Anyway, so it's for me, it'll be a best of Discovery. But man, this movie's so good. It would have made my top 10. It might have even made my top 2 somewhere in there. I don't know which one. I love this movie. A screenwriter drawn back to his childhood home enters into a fledgling relationship with his downstairs neighbor while discovering a mysterious new way to heal from losing his parents 30 years ago. Obviously, very heavy material. Is a solid drama. I would say solid drama with touches of supernatural in it. This movie stars Andrew Scott, who is Moriarty in the Sherlock Holmes BBC adaptation. He's very good. It's a very, very emotionally driven, charged, kinetic movie for me, even though there's a lot of walking in rooms and talking. There's a great energy to it that I found not boring at all. And it's super in your feels. It gets right in there. I don't know
It
doesn't.
See, I wasn't sure.
I don't know. I'm not going to lie. It made me cry.
It was like, the trailer gave me like thriller vibes at first, but then I'm like, oh no, is it a romance?
I see your point. Yeah, maybe that's more the supernatural vibes that it has on the background of stuff. You'll see what you mean. It's a movie about isolation, about family, about identity. It's about a lot of things. And I fell in love with it. It's a really fantastic movie. Definitely making some list somewhere. Anyway, so that's Oliver Stranger. You have another one?
Yes, I saw Mean Girls 2024.
I haven't seen this.
The musical.
How was it?
Okay, honestly, I haven't seen the original Mean Girls in probably well over a decade now. Yeah. But I had to go see it because it's obviously Tina Fey is the writer. I got to give her the props that she deserves.
Are you a big Tina Fey-er?
Yeah.
Fey-head?
Second City, bro. Second City.
Oh, well, you're right. She's from here, man. Oh, yeah. Not from here, but she started.
Yeah, no, it's it is what it is. It's a musical version of Mean Girls. Problem is, it is way too musical in the aspect that I think seeing this movie would be better on a stage because you could see everything going on. Whereas here, it's whatever the camera's showing you. So you see, like, there's probably more shit going on in the background with different dancers and things.
You feel
like
limited?
I think it's very limited in what you're able to see.
I didn't expect that, actually. I mean, I haven't heard amazing things, but I haven't heard bad things either.
Yeah, obviously it's not going to be, like, the greatest movie. It's Mean Girls with...
Right, because if you've seen Mean Girls, then you know the story. Right. Do you know if this is based on a play? Like, they adapted it from a play
version?
Yes,
there was a Mean Girls musical.
Oh, maybe that's what
I think that they, went to a musical movie.
Like, they're going
to
do it with Wicked this year or next year? Next year, I think?
I hope it's this year.
I don't know. I'm curious about it, but I have no idea how it's going to be. I also was worried about Wonka, and that turned out to be great.
Debatable.
Not only because you're weird.
Not enough music.
You're insane. Was there enough music in this one?
I think there was an adequate amount of music.
Oh, an adequate amount. Okay, they hit your numbered mark, huh? 10 numbers. You're good. All right. So that's Mean Girls. Nowhere right now. I think it's in limbo right
probably,
now.
Probably, yeah. Unless it's like, oh, yeah, we have a... Yeah, we'll show this for like $3.
Yeah, maybe. Next up here, I saw Origin. Ava DuVernay's latest film. This is the filmmaker who made Selma, A Wrinkle in Time. She did the 13th.
Oh, you loved that one.
I didn't like A Wrinkle in Time, no.
I know, it's a joke.
No, I know. Audience members don't understand your sarcasm. So anyway, The Unspoken System that has shaped America and chronicles how lives today are defined by a hierarchy of human divisions. It's a heavy-ass movie. This is almost a documentary, but it's not. It's like that Chloe Zhao film, her first one, the one I really loved. Anyway, this movie stars Anjanae Ellis-Taylor, John Bernthal, Niecy Nash. It's a strange movie, very strange in the way it's made. What it's talking and depicting is not strange, but it's a very fascinating filmmaking style and storytelling style. There's the voiceovers, a lot of introspection going on. The plot is very strange because, like, it's about this woman who is taking a lot of modern-day American systems and examples and tragedies to explain why there are such great problems in our history here in America, but also histories all across the world for much longer than America has been America. And she tries to connect the dots between all of these people taking over and taking advantage of another group of people, right? And tries to say that it's not racism, it's something else. That racism isn't the reason why we enslave all these people, or why we did this, or why we forced these, or not even we, but we got that way, you know, 300 years ago, whatever. And she has like a different answer for that. And the movie explores that. And it's hard to describe it and talk about it, and if you haven't seen it or read the book that it's based on. But it's, I find it super fascinating. And I think it's a great discussion to be had, honestly. I highly recommend this movie. And it's no longer anywhere right now. I don't know if it's available to buy, but I saw it in theaters.
Origin?
Origin, yeah. Ava DuVernay. It was a great movie. Great movie. And it's, I'm trying to think. Yeah, 2 hours, 21 minutes. Yeah, sounds right. I don't know what it says. There's a lot of information on it. Do you have another one?
Yes, I do. And this one technically would be a 2024 contender.
What is it?
Despite it coming out in 2023, because we didn't get it in time.
All right, what is it?
This is the one I was trying to see for so long. This is Wim Wenders' latest film,
Perfect Wim Wenders. Days. He's German, Wim. It's like Polish, VW.
Wim.
No, it's Wim.
Because I saw it on a whim. Okay.
That was good. I like that.
Yeah. Oh, man. This, I'm still thinking about this movie. I'm still trying to digest it in a way.
Toilets? It's about,
yes. Hirayama cleans public toilets in Tokyo, lives his life in simplicity and daily tranquility. Some encounters also lead him to reflect on himself. You are literally seeing this guy go about his day. One day. Right?
Yeah.
And then you get to the next day and everything goes pretty much exactly the same. Maybe one or two things are different. And then the next day. And then the next day.
Right.
And something happens in another day where like his niece comes to visit because she ran away from home or something. And then you kind of get some background on him and his family and how it's going. And he just, yeah. This guy is just not bothered by it. He's made peace with his life and it's just so...
You want to achieve that, don't you?
Oh my god, yes. Like, he has like a little like fucking 35 millimeter camera. He goes, it's like a black and white camera, and he goes out and like, oh, like the trees are really nice today. He has like a favorite tree, and he loves to take pictures of the branches, and then each day he'll take another picture of it or something like that, and then get the film developed. And then he gets his roll of film, and then he goes through all the pictures and sees the ones he likes and just tosses them. He has like a guy that works with him, and he's kind of like the opposite of him. He's just like a slacker in a way, just doing the bare minimum, while this guy's like super into whatever he does.
Yeah.
So it's, and these little things about his day, it's called Perfect Days, but in a way, not every day is going to be perfect, but to him, I guess it is.
Yeah. Right. That's his little, maybe the point of it, right? Part of the point.
Yeah. I don't know. It's,
Does the movie hit you in a way you didn't expect? Is that what you're
saying? I think, I don't know, but it's, I don't know. I still keep thinking about this damn movie and the peace and everything this man has. He's, anyway, a minimalist in a way, because he still has like a little collection of like cassette tapes. And then his coworker's like, oh, I need money. You know, your cassette tapes can go for like $120 or something. You know, you should sell them. You should give me some of the money so I could go on a date because I'm poor. And things like that, it's ridiculous, but it's so, I don't know, heartwarming in a way.
And then the man who's at peace with himself in a genuine modern way, is that what you,
and it feels, yeah, like, in like a modern world. Or, you know, yeah. He'll wake up and he'll like, he has like a little room with like little flower or like saplings, and he'll just spray them down with water, make sure they're alive, and just the little things he does every day, his methodness. Mm-hmm. Like, weird comparison, but you know, in the beginning of Schindler's List, I know, you have how he gets ready in the morning, in a way.
Yeah.
And that kind of tells you about his character.
Yeah.
In a way, a big thing of that is with this film. He gets up in the morning, he takes care of his plants, he'll go down, and he'll trim his beard or whatever, or trim his nose, or I forgot what he does. Then he walks down the stairs, and he has like a very methodical way of like, he's going to put his watch on, or take his wallet, or something like that, or... Right. So I think he leaves his watch at home, but he takes it with him. I think he has like a day off. Then he takes his watch with him. So you're like, oh, so he has a way of like doing things, I believe. He's a very methodical man. Everything he does has a sense of purpose. even to the point, like, I'm not going to bring a watch with me.
Right.
It's so weird. But it kind of gives you such a insight into his life. And then every day you see maybe slightly less version of him getting ready, or maybe something else you haven't seen before, something like that.
Yeah.
It's so, I don't know why it's so interesting, Oscar. I can't explain.
That's fine. I mean, you try to explore more as time goes on, because it sounds like it's, I mean, I want to see this movie for sure. I'm going to try to see it.
I'll do the second it's available. I will be buying this movie.
Oh, okay, good. Let me know when that happens. I'll watch it there. So that's Perfect Days. Speaking of nominated films for the international section of the Oscars, I saw another one called The Society of the Snow. This is on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
The flight of a rugby team crashes on a glacier in the Andes. The few passengers who survived that the crash find themselves in one of the world's toughest environments to survive. This is made by J.A. Bayona, the man who brought us The Orphanage and The Impossible, two really good movies. In my opinion, The Orphanage way better. But The Impossible is very gut-wrenching and really watchable. This movie is in the same kind of vein, set on a... This is based on a real-time, real person, a real event that happened in
the... Okay, I was going to ask if that was
70s, real. 60s, 70s, I forget when. And in the Andes, of course, in Peru, I think. And it's a fascinating, crazy, super real and hard-to-watch story of these boys surviving, I forget how many months, how many days or weeks, whatever it was. Months, for sure. I don't know how many, though. Surviving out there. It's a true account of... Very nearly true account to everything that actually happened, and the movie does great lengths to depict it. And apparently, I hear that the shooting for this movie was very, very rough. It was very rough on the acting and the crew and everything. They really sweated the details, so to speak.
Jesus,
on a lot of the stuff. And it's no surprise that it was a contender for Best International Film, but also I think for makeup and acting and all across the world and different award ceremonies. And I totally understand. Very, very hard movie to watch, very gut-wrenching, but again, very human, dramatic. It's all the stuff of storytelling. A lot of it's in there because it happened and because the movie overall does honor to the events of the reality of that. And so, yeah, I found it really hard to say enjoyable. I can't say enjoyable, but like, very watchable, very human, very good. I thought it was very good.
Now, was this movie came out in 2024 or did...
I know so this movie was earlier. Released on Netflix to American audiences in 2024. Yeah, so it's for this year. Uh-huh, but it was did come out in South America last year, if not the year before.
Like I said, I'm pretty sure Perfect Days will be on my top 10. Like,
right. I mean,
I literally put an asterisk after I saw it. I was like, this is a memorable one.
Right, right. I know you don't have any more. I'm going to go as rapid fire as much as I can. I saw some actually newer, fresh American films called Lisa Frankenstein. I saw this
I've kind of want to see that.
So, I don't know. Actually, it's hard to recommend this movie. I don't know
if I would recommend it to you. It seemed fun and quirky in the trailer.
Oh, no, it is. So, here's the thing. A coming-of-age love story about a teenager and her crush, who happens to be a corpse. After a set of horrific circumstances bring them back to life, the two embark on a journey to find love, happiness, and a few missing body parts. This is written by Diablo Cody, the infamous Juno writer, and Tully, the amazing Tully.
Oh, movie. Those are good movies.
Yes, and the United States of Tara, and what's that other big one? The one with that ass cheerleaders, killing boys, monster. Whatever.
The Anna something versus the apocalypse?
No. I don't know why. Jennifer's Body.
I never saw that one.
I thought that was a good movie. Young Adult also, which is another great movie. Anyway, directed by Zelda Williams. This is a set in the 80s. You know, this movie feels like an 80s movie too. It's a very 80s driven. I don't want to say the dialogue necessarily. The dialogue's more poppy, more pops, more modern. But like a lot of the setting and the way an 80s teen movie, even an 80s teen comedy movie or even an 80s teen horror movie would like do dramatic turns on the third act or would present strange characters on the side that to either make fun of them or to like make a point that comes out of nowhere. You know how those 80s movies are or were really. This movie, I feel like, embodies the nature of an 80s, like, not just like, it's not a popular movie, it's more like embodying an 80s, like, indie movie and then a cult classic. It's like it's trying to be a cult classic. On its
before it's
day.
A cult classic.
Right, on its opening day. And that's trying to be, but I'm saying it's embodying that kind of spirit. And the movie I thought was weird. Like, do not look for, like, in this day and age of logic and everything has to make sense and a reason for everything, do not look for that. This movie is more about energy and vibes. And if you fall for it, like I did, I think you'll have fun. Not like the best movie or anything, but I thought it was a lot of fun. So, Lisa Frankenstein, I wouldn't say is Cody's best movie, because I think Tully and Young Adult are much better. But it's still very good. I will watch it again. So, yeah, that's Lisa Frankenstein. Speaking of something that I would not really watch again, it's Madame Web.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people, I think, are in that camp.
Yeah, but it's almost like so bad it's good. A lot of people are complaining that it's so bad it's still bad. I don't think so. I think it's so bad it's good. I laughed a lot of the stupid shit they do in this movie. It makes no fucking sense. I told you before the show that this movie reminds me of, imagine that if a screenwriter was frozen in time in 2002 and was told to write a screenplay about a superhero named Madame Web today, and that guy or woman or girl would write it in the exact same fashion as if it was an early pre-Marvel age superhero movie. That's how it looks and feels. Not just reads. It also feels that way. It looks that way. The budget was clearly limited. It was so bizarre. This movie's so weird. I could never personally greenlight this kind of movie to exist again. But now that I've seen it, I had fun because it's so dumb.
Well, but hopefully they learned their lesson, because I don't think it's doing that well in the box.
No. It did terrible. It did not do good. I saw one of the newer indie horror movies from the year called Stop Motion, which is, I think, currently at Shudder now. Might be on Shudder now. A stop-motion animator struggles to control her demons after the loss of her overbearing mother. It's a weird movie. I saw it on a whim with a friend. She recommended it.
In theaters?
Yeah, in theaters.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So in theaters. And all I can really say about this movie, that even though I did enjoy the tone and the sound design, it has some really wicked sound design, this movie.
Wicked.
Yeah, it's like really memorable and really squelching, kind of really gross stuff going on with, like, using dead animal carcasses and then onto real blood, and by real blood, I mean human blood and human animal human pieces to make a perfect creation of a stop motion movie that this girl is making, and the authenticity of that, right? And there's this, like, a little girl that's clearly not really there, and, like, directing her, and it goes places. I'll just say that. I'm not a big fan of the ending, Percy, personally. I didn't like the way it ended. I wish it had more meat on that bone. But the journey was, like, really creepy and gross. And I got to say, it gave me the chills a couple times because of that awesome sound design. I thought it was really great. For several of those reasons, I think, technically speaking, especially, the movie was pretty solid. Again, storytelling wise, I don't know where it's really going. I didn't really super care. The journey was better than the destination. But yeah, I had fun. And that's the overallness of that movie. It's called Stop Motion. All one word, not two words. And it might be on Shudder by now, because I know it's a Shudder exclusive type of movie.
Sounds like one of those.
Yes, it is. And that is really it. Now, I've seen others like Freelance and Sound of Freedom. Both have free in the title. And I really have nothing to say on them, so I'm just going to skip them. But those are roughly the movies that Luke and I have recently discovered since our hiatus, or during our hiatus. And this is usually the point where we're going to take a break. So we're going to take a break, even though this is our last segment recorded, but it's the first segment for our audience. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're obviously going to talk about the Oscars, obviously pre-recording of the Oscars, what our thoughts are, the nominations. And then the segment after that, we're going to talk about the winners and the ceremony itself. Stay with us. And we're back. And now we're going to get into the portion of the show where it's the before and after. So obviously this is all pre-recorded at some point. We don't know when. We're going to talk about the nominations. This is the 96th Academy Awards nominations. Some interesting topics. We're going directly from the website, theoscars.org one. And we're going in order, basically. Roughly. And we'll talk about whatever, including if you guys seen any of the movies in between from the Oscar nominations and stuff. You could talk about them here if you want a little bit based on whatever topic we're on, whatever category we're talking about. Feel free, obviously. We're going to talk about what we think and what we want, things like that. We've done this before, okay? This is pretty easy. Right? So first,
you think.
Actor in a leading role. I'll start off by reading this one, then we'll trade off, okay? So the actors we got here is Bradley Cooper for Maestro, Colman Domingo for Rustin, Paul Giamatti for The Holdovers, Cillian Murphy. I almost said Cillian. Cillian Murphy for Oppenheimer, and then Jeffrey Wright for American Fiction. It seems pretty safe bet to say that based on our top 10 films of the decade, of the year. No. Is that we all had American Fiction on there. Does that mean we all want Jeffrey Wright?
That's a good. So I didn't see The Holdovers. Haven't seen it yet. Plan to see it before the movie because I think it's already out on.
And you're the Christmas guy.
Streaming one. What's wrong with the Christmas guy? I didn't know it was a Christmas movie until you guys said it was. And then it was.
I told you the week it was out.
Months ago.
I know.
And they released it back in theaters because of the noms.
I was already busy after that.
I'm just saying. They had plenty of shots. Plenty of shots. The theaters brought it back and everything.
I did see Maestro.
So besides The Holdovers, has anyone not seen anything else?
Rustin. I haven't seen Rustin.
Rustin, okay.
And Maestro.
Okay. I've seen all five.
Shocker.
Wow. And I saw all five before the end of the year. It wasn't like none of them were like brand new or anything. They're all pretty solid. I'm not going to lie. I like all of them. I like low-key want Giamatti to win because he's never going to win. You know what I mean? Like, that was a cool underdog movie. That was a cool performance. For me, I kind of want him. My darling would be also Jeffrey Wright. Also, because he's always been like a supporting character in movies. It's like his first big.
It's time to shine.
Right.
Exactly.
And I think he's earned it, not just in that movie, but in a long career, you know? But to me, I think Killian's going to get it. That's what I think is going to happen. Same. Is that what we feel?
I think he's going to get it. Deep down, I'm a Jeffrey Wright supporter.
Yeah, I think I feel the same as Luke. What about you, Rob? What do you think?
Yeah, I do feel like it's Cillian Murphy's time. I think Jeffrey Wright would be great, to be honest with you.
Both of them, actually, Jeffrey Wright and Murphy
I haven't seen Paul Giamatti's thing, but I also think
he's great.
He's, you know, I mean, I don't think I've ever not liked something Paul Giamatti's been in.
Oh yeah, did you like him as Rhino in The Amazing Spider-Man?
Actually, I loved him as Rhino.
I bet you did. You're just saying that. You're fucking shitting. Oh yeah, you also liked him in Shoot 'Em Up too. You like him? You like that movie?
I did like that movie actually.
Tour de force performance going on there.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Hold on. You don't have to have a tour de force performance in every role you do.
No, but like, no.
What I'm saying
is
that I know you can still do good in a shitty movie.
I don't think he did. I don't think anyone did good in that movie. That's my point. It was directed badly.
That movie was great.
No, it wasn't.
It got made. That's got to count for something.
That doesn't count. Killer Bond 2 exists.
Hold on. Did you shoot him up? That was the one with the banana or something like that, right?
Yeah. The carrot stick.
Carrot stick. My bad. Yeah. That's a great movie.
No, it's not. No, you guys are just saying shit. The Spirit was made. Do we agree to this?
don't diss my movie, sir.
I'm not gonna. Right. I'm not gonna lie. I haven't seen it since it came out.
Yeah,
it's very memorable.
Want to come over and watch it? You want to prove me? You want to go down this rabbit hole just to be an asshole?
I do. Yes.
Okay. My point is, I agree. Jeffrey Wright. My actual pick, Killian, is probably gonna get it. But what I was gonna say is that Killian and Jeffrey are both actors that actually have historically been supporting roles or like minor roles in movies too. It's also Killian's time as well. Like, it's very first big spotlight movie. So I guess I'm probably gonna be happy if he gets it, which he'll probably get. So, Rob, why don't you read the next one here?
Sure. Yep. The next one is actress in a leading role.
Nope. Actor in a supporting role.
So yeah. Sorry, I was getting ahead of myself.
I'm just going in order, so it could be simpler.
No. Sorry. I scrolled down on accident.
Okay.
Actor in a leading role.
I thought you were fucking with me.
In a supporting role. Nominees are Sterling K. Brown for American Fiction, Robert De Niro for Killers of the Flower Moon, Robbie Downer Jr.
Robbie, yeah.
I know,
Robbie. Because you're friends with him.
I'll be my total friends. Oppenheimer, Ryan Gosling for Barbie, and Mark Ruffalo for Poor Things.
Okay, which have we not seen?
Mark Ruffalo from Poor Things. I've seen them all. Sorry.
Okay, me too.
and me three.
I don't know why. Okay. Oh, wow. Look at that. Look at us.
Yeah, we've all seen everything here. What were you saying, Rob?
I don't know why I started laughing for Mark Ruffalo's performance. I just see
it is the funniest scene. One, probably.
It is the funniest one. I think the scene is most memorable for me. It's like, you still want to go? He's like, he's tired. He's just tired of her.
Yeah.
He doesn't know what to do.
I look at it, three of these are kind of comedic, like supporting roles, right? Sterling K. Brown, of course, brother.
Yeah.
Ryan Gosling, obviously. Uh-huh. Mark Ruffalo is probably the funniest in my opinion because of that dance sequence alone and all the shagging. Yes. Like him being an asshole is funny as fuck to me. And then two
it's
other
2024. We call it coitus.
That's not true. It's not. It's not 1824. All right. Luke, why don't you go first? What do you think of this list, and what do you think, and what do you want?
Personally, I am a man of the comedies.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, Mark Ruffalo, yeah. But I think it's going to be, like, a more serious role, like, probably Robert De Niro.
You think Robert De Niro's going to get it?
I think so.
When's the last time he got something?
He's gotten three, okay?
Last time, I didn't say
he's going to get an even four.
I might be wrong on three. It might be more than three. I know he got it for, he got it for Raging Bull, didn't he?
Let me look.
I have to think, because he's such an older actor that there's so much, too many decades to his career. I remember what he got it for.
But he gotten one this decade?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
I mean, Ruffalo.
I know he was nominated for Silver Linings, I believe.
Yeah. I would want to win the least would probably be Ryan Gosling.
I agree with you there. I think Ryan Gosling is the one here that I don't agree with being on here. Right. Like if I was going to make my personal nominations of top five, maybe one of these would make the list, and I would have way more opinions that are completely different on my nominations. But, you know, having said that, like, you know, the ones they pick overall seemingly are okay, except for Ryan Gosling for me. I don't think he belongs on there. It's a good performance. I mean, he gives it, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I don't disagree with that at all.
I don't think...
I think the two weakest here would be, again, probably the middle two. Or the Downey Jr. and Ryan Gosling. I didn't actually think he was going to get nominated for it. It's such a short thing, but they do that. I know the Academy Awards like to do that.
Yeah.
Just like a short
thing. My favorite example of that is to talk about The History of Violence, where William Hurt was nominated for one scene, or like two scenes in the end of the movie.
The most epic of scenes.
It was cool. I mean, it was cool.
Yeah,
it was badass scenes, but come on.
Yeah. I do feel like it's more of a... between the other three choices, for sure. De Niro hasn't done it in a while, but I mean, I like them all, to be honest with you.
Did you find out what he won for?
I think, was I supposed to?
I thought you were doing that, actually.
Yeah, he's gotten Godfather 2, Raging Bull.
I was right on Raging Bull. Just two, okay.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Sterling K. Brown might get the EGOT if he gets this.
Is that right?
Really?
I think so.
Wow.
Really?
That'd be great, cool. Actually. They might just give it to him for that reason.
I would give it to him for that reason. I was like thinking in my head, like, my two favorite are Ruffalo and Brown. My two favorite. Yeah. Now, they also happen to be like really enjoyable characters to watch on screen. So I don't know if that's like, you know, making me biased. But man, they are just,
What's he got? What's the other ones for? I'm curious.
You mean the EGOT status?
Yeah.
I'm curious about the music one.
That's what I'm curious about, yeah.
The Grammy one, yeah. I don't know about... I mean, the rest I can kind of see. Actors can travel different ways there. But I think what the one they're going to give it to is Downey Jr. I think that's the one they're going to give it to. I think that's going to be... Oppenheimer's going to sweep the male categories. And
yeah, hopefully not, but...
I hope not also. Yeah. But I think they'll give it to Downey. And they'll give it to him because of his like wonderful comeback story and him making so much money for the studios for Iron Man. Like, that's what I think they're going to give it to him for. Don't be wrong. I think he was good in the movie. I definitely not saying he wasn't. But not compared to... Even De Niro, I like more. He had such an impact in that movie. And Brown, I think, had a bigger impact. Buffalo had a much bigger also thing. And Gosling, we don't want him there. So that's my feelings on it. I think they'll give it to him, but I want it... Like, I want Brown or Ruffalo to get it.
Yeah. I get that.
Any other thoughts on this category?
No. Yeah, I get what you're saying. I agree with what you're saying.
Yeah. All right, Luke, why don't you read the actress in the role?
Actress in the leading role. Nominee.
Schauspielerin. I just learned that means actress in German.
Oh, okay. Did you tell me to shut up or something?
Nope.
It sounds like you said shut up.
Schauspielerin is...
That sounds like a shut up
in German. Scheiße is shit. I don't know how to say shut Scheiße. Up yet. Chico. Let's go.
Okay. Nominees, Annette Bening for Naiad?
Naiad, yep.
Naiad.
Nah, Lily, nope, Naiad.
Not that one.
Lily Gladstone, Killers of the Flower Moon.
Mm-hmm.
Sandra Hüller. I don't know
how to pronounce that. Hüller, you got it right.
Okay.
That's Anatomy of a Fall.
Whoa.
Whoa. Not like that.
Carey Mulligan for Maestro,
mm-hmm.
and Emma Stone for Poor Things.
All right, I'm just going to say it first. Is this the hardest this is the hardest pick for anyone?
I've only seen two of these
I haven't
movies.
Seen Nyad or Nyad.
Okay, what have you guys not seen?
Nyad.
And that's it?
That's it.
Yeah. Luke, what you have not seen? What have you not seen?
The shorter list is what I have seen, which is Killers of the Flower Moon and Poor Things.
That's adorable.
That is a shorter list, yeah.
Oh, you haven't seen Anatomy of Fall yet?
No.
Oh, yeah, bro.
I know.
It's like you don't want this is a good hard, movies is a in
hard,
your life.
This is a hard choice. I feel like a lot of attention is on Lily Gladstone right now.
Yeah,
rightfully so.
I think her.
Yeah,
there's
a lot of attention on her for sure.
Yeah.
I thought Carey Mulligan did a fantastic job.
She did a great job. She's like the saving grace of that movie. If
really good job. Yeah, she does a great job of keeping it.
Don't get me wrong, the movie wasn't bad, but she just made it great. Like
She keeps it like upbeat and like mm-hmm. and then. Very, very, and it also feels great.
Because I seen when she's like, looking for another guy, and she's like, "Oh, you know, hook me up with this guy." He's like, yeah. "Oh no, he's gay too."
And of course, Emma Stone's did a great job.
Emma Stone also fantastic. Yeah. No, not just because of that, but Emma Stone was like really good.
Fantastic with her childish transformation to the adulthood and how she had to walk and talk.
I mean, I don't even know how to. There's no.
And there's it
no guidebook
so,
for that.
And it was very seamless because all of a sudden you're just like, "Oh wait." She's like an adult now. She's no longer like a
right.
Yeah. That was interesting.
That was really good. I have a top three. I also saw Nyad, I should say. I've seen all five. I saw Nyad recently. It's on Netflix. Mm. And
good. I don't know.
I think doing me wrong, Independent is, I think, pretty good in that movie. I feel like she's been here before. She's given better, in my opinion. Not that it matters for other performances. It shouldn't, but that's how people see it anyway. But I feel like compared to Hewler and or Stone or Gladstone, both Stones, I don't think she compares to them, as good as she is in that movie. I think the other four are better. I do also think the Academy will give it to Gladstone, much like they gave it to that girl in Minari, wasn't that right?
Mm-hmm.
My old lady in Minari, man, not girl.
Sure.
And I wouldn't say that that's undeserved. However, my favorite is Sandra Hüller.
I agree. I would agree with you.
It's the entire movie is Hüller.
I think if I'm thinking,
she's gonna be fucking
I don't know
funny.
Where I put between Emma and Lily because it's such a different performance, but I think they both did a fantastic job. So I'm really stuck between both, but I do agree with you. Sandra
Hüller
is just fantastic.
That's
very,
my pick.
Very, very human. So human.
I mean, I really hope, and she could get it. I'm not saying that. I'm just thinking that they will go for the Lily.
I agree.
But I won't be the only one I won't be happy with is Independent, honestly, because every other one is they're so good.
Yeah.
But I will be happiest with
you. I'll take your word for those.
Yeah. Did you have a pick, Luke, out of the two that you've seen?
He has to win this to get probably, two for any god. He's not even there yet. Anyways.
Yeah. Probably Lily.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm not going to be mad if Emma Stone wins.
Right.
Right. Right. Sure.
And that's because I can't say the other three, so.
Right. I get it. This one's a horse of a different color for me, anyway. We're going to get to it. Actress in a supporting role. We got Emily Blunt for Oppenheimer, Daniel Brooks for The Color Purple, America Ferrera for Barbie, Jodie Foster for Nyad, and Devine Joy Randolph for The Holdovers. This, to me, is a bizarre pick of characters. Way better ones, in my opinion, you could have nominated it personally.
Yeah.
But for example, Emily Blunt, I have no idea why she's here.
Yeah.
She
also got nominated for in the SAG Awards for the same role.
Why?
I don't know.
I saw the SAG Awards because we were looking at something to look at on Netflix and it just happened to be live on Netflix.
Yeah.
On the side. I've never watched SAG Awards
I'm
ever
thinking,
in my life.
Like, I don't know what kind of student interview is going on here.
But actually,
or maybe
think,
she has like a
I
best.
I think everybody here was nominated for the SAG Awards as well.
Mm. Daniel Brooks was really good. I totally dug her. America Ferrera. She was good. I don't think she was that great.
Yeah.
Like, I think Barbie is a better working overall, is a better story than it is a performance vehicle, you know? At least that's how I feel. Jodie Foster, I would say, is equal in powerhouse performance to Annette Bening in that same movie. She plays the coach in that movie, the best friend and coach. And Devine Joy Randolph is actually the one character in all these five performances that I remember the most, and it's the movie I've seen the longest, like the that I've seen the least recent. So that says, I think I'm going to pick her for that reason alone. She has like a really memorable set of scenes in that movie. Oh, that,
God, that's the one that won, actually. That's the one that won.
Oh, really? Yeah. Yeah, oh, well, there you go. Yeah. Well, I feel a little vindicated there. Yeah, I'm going to go with Devine Jordan. Yeah,
like that scene where she's at her sister's house?
Yes.
That stuck.
Yeah, that did. Yep. Yeah, that stuck. And then you see that earlier scene at the party with the record. And
I only have two choices on my end. And I don't think both of them, honestly, I mean, cool for them for getting nominated. But I didn't really feel like both of them were that strong. So,
yeah.
And that's Oppie and Barbie. So.
Yeah, for me, it's either Randolph and the one I think will win. I don't know. It could be Daniel Brooks or Devine Jordan. I mean, they might, honestly, I have no idea what the politics are to this. Maybe Emily Blunt's going for it. I don't know what's going on with that. Maybe. I don't know what kind of background shit's going on, but Emily Blunt's the least deserved, in my opinion, in this. On another note, though, Jodie Foster is having a hell of a month right now with this and True Detective and shit. She's fucking nailing it.
Oh, she is in there.
Great job, yeah.
I still haven't watched the third season of that one.
I mean, you know, there's anthology, right?
Doesn't matter. Still only one to see it.
Fucking ridiculous, bro. Yes. Okay, that's our thoughts on that one. Let's do animated feature, Roth.
Gotcha. Animated feature. We have The Boy and the Heron, Miyazaki, and Toshio Suzuki. Elemental. Pixar, Nimona, Netflix, Robot Dreams, no clue, and
South American,
Across the Spider-Verse. I kind of figured it was a lot of Latin names.
Mm-hmm. But, I think it's from Argentina, I want to say. I might be wrong.
Maybe. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. So, yeah, cool. I've seen three of them.
I've seen four.
Nice. Two. You saw Nimona?
I saw Nimona, yeah.
Yeah, how was it? I've been meaning to watch it, but Leo hasn't really been super interested in it, so.
I liked it, and I don't know if he'll think of it, but it's a perfect kids film.
Yeah, that's what it looked like, but he's just looking at me like, meh. And I'm like, I usually just play stuff for him.
And it's set in like knights and shield and armor kind of setting.
Cool.
Between is a contest between two, and so is the one I think will win. So. I assume the two that you've seen, Luca, the two that we reviewed on the show, right?
Yes. Okay. Although I feel there should be a sixth entry.
What is?
And Suzume got robbed.
Well, Suzume was eligible for last year, the year previous, because it was a foreign picture. No, we got it
in 2023. Don't care.
No. Not for them, though.
I think they also got it in 2023.
I don't think so. I think it was a...
Shut up.
First of all, Japan didn't enter it as their foreign picture selection. And secondly, they just didn't nominate it for their... I'm just saying, obviously snubbed. I agree with you. Suzume should be on here over Nimona... And Elemental. I've never seen Robot Dreams.
I saw like clips of Robot Dreams. It looked pretty cool animation.
It looks really cool. I saw a trailer for it too. It looks pretty cool. It looks real zany and different. But I can't say anything about it.
Yeah.
So the two I think is Boy and a Heron and Spider-Man.
Yep.
Those are my two favorite.
Yeah. Same.
Like clear above, you know? And I think one of those two will also win. Now, I mean, they could just give it to Pixar the same way they kind of always give it to Pixar sometimes.
That would be a bad idea.
I would hope so. Especially, I think The Boy in the Heron is going to get it.
I feel like there's no way I would hope so.
But yeah. I think, I mean, Spider-Man.
It's the most popular movie in America ever released.
Yeah.
And that's a big deal. It made all the rounds on social media, which is also a pretty big deal. Most movies don't get that. And I think Spider-Man, because it's the middle movie, they may not give it for that reason. The same way they don't give Two Towers a lot of nomination wins, you know, back then.
Yeah.
Like that trilogy effect thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I don't know.
That's what I'm thinking goes against Spider-Verse. Not that I agree with that. I mean, The Boy and the Heron didn't make my top 10. Spider-Verse did, so. But I love both movies. I really like both movies. But I think the Heron's going to get it. Miyazaki. I mean, I still see him up on stage, too. Again, it might be his last movie. I know we said that last time, but that was like 13 years ago or 10 years ago or something. No, 10, right? Like 10, 9. Yeah, not that bad. Raph, did you have a thing to ask you?
Yeah. I know, I agree. I was going to say, it's not like Elemental's not a bad movie. I thought it was the more, out of the three movies I saw, the more surprising movie. I expected the least from that movie.
That's true. That's definitely true.
And it actually surprised me with how good it actually was.
I agree.
And yeah, the story was actually really good as well.
Yeah,
which is cool. But I do agree with you very much. So, I don't know. Across the Spider-Verse does so much, though. And I think the whole world will feel...
I think
it should win. But it also, like, it won last time, didn't it?
Who did?
Didn't Spider-Man, the first one?
I don't know about that. Double check that. I don't think so. You'd be surprised.
If it didn't win, then it...
There's always the weird... This is always a weird category. We never want the one to win. Like, I think the whole world would agree that Elemental is the number three pick. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think, you know, I don't think anyone's saying it's the number one choice. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's how I feel the world thinks. I don't know if that's true. Right? Luke, you want to read the cinematography?
Yes, but first, what is cinematography, Oscar? Please explain to the audience.
Do you really want me to explain it? Why are you talking like as if you know the answer, but you're still asking? Do you know the answer?
Yes, it's the
shooting
lighting.
The shooting, the lighting, yeah. Hmm?
All right, nominees are, I'm going to butcher some names. For El Conde, mm-hmm. Edward Lachman.
Okay.
Killers of the Flower Moon, Rodrigo Prieto.
You said that right, actually.
I know. For Maestro, Matthew Libatic.
Yeah.
For Oppenheimer, Hoyt van Hoytema.
That's a fake name.
And for Poor
right?
Things, Robbie Ryan.
Yeah, the whitest name. Robbie Ryan.
Or do they call him Robbie? Robbie Ryan.
Yeah. Cinematography. This one is definitely interesting. El Conde is the one you haven't seen, I assume, Luke,
1,000%.
Right? I know you haven't seen Maestro yet either. Yeah. El Conde, we reviewed on here when you were gone. We did a Mexican thing.
Oh, get out.
Thing.
Oh, that's
well, not
right.
Mexican thing, but Latin America.
When I was in Japan.
It's from Chile, right, Ralph? That's the movie?
Correct, yeah.
By the guy who did those the movie No and okay. stuff. It's a vampire movie, actually.
Sorry, yeah.
So two of these movies are black and white movies. El Conde and Maestro. Are the black and white pictures of this movie.
So they should be disqualified, because, I mean...
Right.
Shooting in black and white is easy as fuck.
No, shut up. Stop saying things.
It's like Kevin Smith did Clerks.
You shadow it differently.
White.
No, that there's no... Yeah.
It's a filter on your phone. No, it's not that hard.
I hate you. My pick is Killers, so the Flower Moon, probably.
Mm, I think mine would be Poor Things.
Yep. It did win. It won Best Animated Feature on the 91st Academy Awards.
It did?
Yep.
Oh, wow. This is from like 2 questions ago.
Sorry.
He's talking about that the first
right,
Spider-Man.
I was like, Poor Things? One cinematography on the set?
That's great. That's good to know that. Okay, then it's probably never getting it for the second one.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway, continuing on to this one. I kind of want Poor Things to win too. Like, I feel like it's really those two that are competing in up for my attention is Flower Moon and Poor Things are my favorite shot films out of these five.
Yeah. I like the shout out to El Conde, though.
El Conde, though, yeah, I mean, it was
a
striking
sure.
movie. Beautiful yeah, yeah. and weird and macabre. Mm-hmm. Maestro is also pretty stellar and very poignant at shooting, I think. Oppenheimer, I don't know what it's doing here. I think the close-ups is what they really... Because there's so much face close-ups in that movie, and
there
they
is.
Really handle it with the movement and the walking. I think that's probably what it's getting it for. And don't get me wrong, it's technically really proficient. I just think it's the fifth place for me. Mm. That's how I feel. Oppenheimer might get it. I mean, Oppenheimer, Barbie, Killers, American... Like, these are the ones that are nominated the most, right? Poor Things.
Right.
Especially the first two I said. So, I don't know if one's going to sweep or not. I tend to believe that Killers is my favorite. Barely. But I would be happy if Poor Things gets it as well. I really don't know what's going to happen, though. I have no idea. There's no politics for this one, I don't think. yeah. Anyone else? Everyone said their opinion?
Yeah. Go okay. Poor Things.
All right. You guys want to skip costume design? Because Poor Things is going to get it, and we can just move on.
I mean, let's nominate the other movies.
Okay.
Like Barbie.
Well, I don't know. I mean, we know very little.
I was going to say Barbie, Killers of the Flower Moon, Napoleon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. The only one I said might give it a run for its money might be like Napoleon, because it's a period piece.
I would have said Barbie, maybe.
Yeah, Barbie for being out there.
Yeah.
They just
I mean, Poor Thing is out there
Barbie.
Without needing to resort to a toy Mattel brand. Right.
Yeah.
Next. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Poor
I
things,
just know
yeah.
nothing about this kind of thing.
Go Holly Waddington.
You know. Let's hit into directing. So for directing, we got Anatomy of a Fall, Justine Triet, Killers of the Flower Moon, Martin Scorsese, Oppenheimer, Christopher Nolan, Poor Things by Yorgos Lanthimos, and The Zone of Interest, first mention of this movie by Jonathan Glazer. I've seen all five.
I've seen all four.
I've seen all three.
Okay. So, yeah. So we'll go with the one with the three first. What do you think and what do you want?
What are you buying?
For
is that rest for?
Yeah.
What are you buying?
Yeah. Okay. Honestly, I think personally, Yorgos.
No, because I want you to speak for someone else.
Personally, Yorgos. I want Yorgos to win.
Okay. Yeah.
That, like, I mean, like.
I mean, you do seem to really like Poor Things. Was it even in the top 10?
Wow. I think it was my number three or two.
It was my number three.
It got cut, but yeah.
It's just funny how you're talking just, a lot.
I know, right?
Right.
But the cotton candy skies and everything, it's just very, I don't know. But I do feel it's going to be between Nolan and Scorsese. Because I haven't seen the other two, so.
Mm-hmm. One's right in your wheelhouse. It's set in Germany during World War II.
It's supposed to have your interest.
Yeah. Has a lovely garden.
Yeah, that's on Netflix. I think so, right? I've been to check it out.
Zone of Interest? No.
Yeah. No.
Not even.
I saw an ad for it. I thought it was on Netflix.
You could put the finger down. I got it.
Okay. So, but I do think Killers or Oppenheimer are gonna get it because, like I said, Scorsese is about to kick the bucket any day now.
I hope not.
I know. I hope not too.
He's already setting up his next movie.
Right. Well, you never know.
His next movie, supposedly, it's a movie set in the Master and Commander era.
It's about the first of the world?
It's about ships and shit, yeah, but it's not by the same book or anything, but like in that era of being on a ship and shit. Anyway, that's what I heard. I don't know if it's true. Anyway, Raph, you've seen slightly more. What do you think?
I kind of want to agree with him, but I do feel like... I think they can give it to Scorsese. I thought it was a great movie, of course. I think it made it the highest for me out of everybody here.
In the top 10?
Yeah.
Probably.
I think so. I can't remember.
I think it was my number five.
I dug all of these movies a lot. They're all in my top 10. So they're... or did I miss Killers or Killers I just missed out on? I can't remember. Anyways, but...
No, I made you top 10.
Yeah. I can't remember where it was, though. Anyways, it was, I almost want to say, like, it'd be great to give it to just like a newcomer, which would be Anatomy of a Fall. Probably not getting another one, you know, anytime soon.
I mean, but you're right, maybe.
Right. I mean, you can really, right? But at the same time, like,
I mean, she's a foreign filmmaker, right?
Right. Exactly. That's the bigger problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
Really. So I can't say that. And I think,
watching 20 years, she's like the household name. She's the next Spielberg and shit.
It'd be funny as hell, right? I think Yorgos Lanthimos would be like the wildest choice, though. I haven't seen Zone of Interest, so I can't say.
No one here but Scorsese has won this award either.
Right, so like Scorsese winning again is almost like, fuck y'all, pay me, bitch, right? It does feel like that.
It took forever to him get that one win, too.
It did, right.
It felt like the win for the ones he didn't get for, you know what I'm saying?
100% did. And you know, when we talk about Scorsese being at his best when he's doing subject matters when it's not his stuff, or like personal to him, I guess, right? When he's like really, when he does like his homework on all this stuff, not that he doesn't do his homework, besides the point, but I've been saying
I really like him getting older and more... pontificating on shit he's doing.
For sure. Or putting his own, like, obviously, like, perspective on things.
Mm-hmm.
That's really cool. But again, I think Poor Things is the wildest choice. I'd love to see Poor Things.
I agree with you there. I think that'll be the wild pick. Not mad at it.
Yeah, I think the safest choice, like, that, like, would be between Killers and Oppenheimer. But I really would love to see Anatomy of a Fall win. I just don't, because it would be almost like that one-off, like that Adrian Brody moment, you know, like...
The pianist kind of thing, I mean?
Yeah, right. Not to say that Adrian Brody's not a bad actor or anything, but it's just, you know.
No, yeah. I mean, yeah, I get it. I kind of agree with that sentiment. I personally think Nolan's going to get it. I think it's his time. The same way Killian Murphy is. Like, I feel
it,
like
it does feel like it is his time. Hey, there's, man, like, weird. I did three Batman movies. They're great.
For the same reason that, I forget which other nomination we were talking about earlier about, like, oh, you made, oh, Robert Downey Jr. Yeah. You made so much money, we'll give you this win.
Right.
Like, Nolan made him so much money with all his movies.
I know. Not only that, but it's just
makes like, IMAX like a live thing.
Right, right, right. Part. But yeah, but not only that, it's also.
And the physical disc.
Yeah, yes. Right. It's also like his best movie is like, you could have gave it to him there, or mm-hmm. one of his best movies. And,
well, Memento?
Yeah.
I would say Interstellar was the next time he reached the heights of what people might consider to be like that guy who brings,
I think we've said it before. He's the guy who brings the adult audience to the theaters. And he like, and not only that, but like, it's also like blends like,
and I got, and you can like, other than obviously the Dark Knight stuff, which he probably used mainly to kickstart a lot of his projects too and his earlier career. Mm-hmm. Other than that, for the most part, he does his own original work. And that's something that's pretty cool and really rare. But to wit though, all of these movies are not sequels. You know what I'm saying? And that's nice. Dope. That's really dope.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
They're all one-offs, yeah.
Yeah, they're all one-offs. There's no sequels to any of these movies. Yeah. You know?
Yep.
So I think that's cool. And it's clearly reflective here. I feel like no one's going to get it. What I want is Justine Triet. Not just because there are so few female directors. I think only one has won, right? The Zero Dark Thirty.
Is it?
Actor, I think director. Yeah, I think that's the only one. Certainly it wasn't this girl for Barbie. She didn't get it. She didn't get it for Little Women. And I don't think she got it for Lady Bird, did she?
No, I don't think so.
I think she's nominated.
I would have remembered, but yeah.
Pretty sure she was nominated, but I don't think she won. However, I think Barbie in the direction is where it excels. I feel like I would have wanted her here. But besides that, I think Justin Triet would be nice. It would be my pick personally. Poor Things is the wild card. I agree with you. I would never be mad if Scorsese or even like Glazer would get it. The only one I agree with the least. I agree with Nolan the least, though. I don't want him to win, but I think that's the one's going to win.
Yeah,
he made us money.
Yeah.
I still a great movie, but yeah. Anyways,
yeah. I'm not saying it's bad. It made your top tens, right?
Yeah, of course.
Well, not mine, but well, anyway. All right. Do we want to even try for the documentary feature?
I don't watch any.
I haven't seen a single one.
Okay, me either. I almost did last week, but I didn't. Okay. Short films, same thing, right?
Yeah.
The ABCs of book banning. Sure, I'll go with that one.
Yeah, that one looks like the.
I think something. I might have seen part of The Last Repair Shop, actually.
That title sounds familiar, but it could be a movie I'm talking about. Anyway.
Anyways.
All right, film editing, we do have a skin in that. So
boy, I'll Rob, tell you.
Give us the film editing.
We have Anatomy of a Fall, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppie, and Poor Things.
Yeah, a lot of sames here.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Killers and Oppie? Should be disqualified. Nothing was edited out of those fucking movies. Long as fuck.
I think, what's it called? Somebody would tell you otherwise because they'd be like, they'd be 6-hour epics or something.
Yeah. No, I think like 18-hour epics.
Right, yeah.
I know.
How long is the book to read? 25 hours?
That's it's how long.
23, right?
Yeah, right.
Right.
Yeah. Editing is always such a strange beast. I love it. I love editing in my life. It's hard to notice all the patterns in editing movies sometimes, but I would say, man, this is so interesting. I feel like Thelma Schoonmaker, who's edited almost all of Scorsese's movies, by the way, should be said, you know? I also think she's kind of been nailing it even better lately, you know? I really like Killer's editing. And then we follow the same way, the interweaving of the stories, prosecution, the fake reality, the what she's going, you know, so many scenes there.
They do a really good job.
Yeah. Really good job, I think. The whole scene with the dog and the kid, I think, was really well edited, too. I think of that scene a lot. Holdovers has a really nice pace, though.
It is.
A
really and funny, it's short.
Good perfect. Pace. It is shorter. It's not short.
Holdovers. Let's go.
Well, Kevin Chet, my boy.
Right.
Go Kevin.
Buck 90. That's it. Leave.
Right. Buck 93. Keep it simple.
Right, right. This is hard. This is a hard one for me. It could go anywhere, to be honest with you. I will
give it to the holdovers for its comedic timing.
I think the lesser one here is Oppenheimer.
I also agree with that.
I haven't seen the holdovers from what you guys are saying, so I can disqualify that. Mm-hmm. For my four is the lesser one for sure. And the other ones, honestly, I can go either way here. They're all really well paced and good. Well,
so. Yeah, and they're kind of differently paced too.
For sure, yeah.
Like, there's a lot of smash cuts to poor things, right?
Yes,
there is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Killers of the Flower Moon was very drawn in, and there's like interweavings between plot B plots, C plots, and shit going on. Uh-huh. When someone's talking, they flash to a thing. A lot of that going on that does really well. A lot of people do like the three timeline stuff of Oppenheimer. I didn't think it was that great. That's why I think it's my number five also. But it was good. It wasn't made badly. I didn't think it was that good. I already mentioned Enemy of Paul. I think Holdover is my favorite. That's my pick.
Going for Holdovers?
For editing, yeah.
Yeah.
He already said it because it's short. So.
No, I agree, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Although I wouldn't be mad if Poor Things got it.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't think I'd be mad if Poor Things gets anything.
Right.
Yeah, me too.
I'd be the happiest.
It's Yorgos' time to shine.
Yeah. He's never won either, right? I know he's been on the roster.
Wait, hold on. There's two guys with the name Yorgos?
Yeah, there's two Yorgos. Yeah, this guy is Yorgos Mavropasidis. Okay, yeah. Fuck that up. Luke, give us international feature.
Oh, boy. Io Capitano, Italy.
That's so Italian. Jesus
Perfect Christ. Days, mm-hmm. Japan.
I didn't see it. I haven't seen it.
Society of the Snow, Spain.
Mm-hmm.
The Teacher's Lounge, Deutschland. Zone of Interest, the UK.
Zone of Interest, UK, yeah. So, Luke, I know you've seen one of these recently, right?
Yes.
So you've only seen one. It's Perfect Days, right?
Yes. That's already on my top 2024, I swear to God.
You loved it that much because you love toilets. Yes. You love shitting, don't you? You fucking weirdo.
Shut up.
I know it's a toilet movie.
No,
I know that.
It's, yeah, in a way, yeah.
I know it's not. Cleaner, I'm kidding. But, it's by Wim Wenders. It's very like the human spirit and living and
oh.
I know. I almost saw it so many times over the last month, but I've been
What's
so
wrong
burnt
with
out.
You? Go see
I was
it.
So burnt out to watch anything like that. I've been it watching is, shit stuff lately because I don't want to pay attention much.
Well, don't pay. This is beautiful shit.
I want to pay attention. But I'm saying I haven't seen it for that reason. But I've seen two others. I've seen Zone of Interest, of course. And I've seen Society of the Snow.
That's on Netflix, right?
That's why I've seen it. It's on Netflix. That's a hard movie. That is a brutal movie. It's about survivors of an airplane crash in the mountains, in snowy mountains, and they have to survive for, I think they survive for 100 and something days. This rugby team, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And it's very brutal. It's made by Jay Bayona. Seen his movie, you don't know who the fuck that is. He did a movie called The Orphanage, an excellent fucking movie. And he also did a movie called The Impossible, which is a tsunami survivor movie.
I remember
movie.
That one, yeah. That's, what's
remember how brutal name's... that movie was?
Yeah, that's what's his name's first role
I in think it, you showed it? That one to me, didn't you?
Isn't that Spider-Man's first role in it? What's the guy's
Andrew Garfield?
Name? No.
Tom Holland?
Tom Holland's first role.
I don't know, but I remember that it's Obi-Wan and Naomi Watts, isn't it? The father and the mother. I don't know. Maybe the kid was Tom Holland. I don't know. But as brutal as that movie was, Society of the Snow is even more brutal. It's a real life story too. It's based on a real life biopic. I guess it's a period piece biopic, all in Spanish, and it's pretty harrowing stuff. My pick is obviously Zone of Interest, and I think it's obvious to say also that the Zone of Interest, since it's nominated for other awards and none of these are, it seems pretty safe bet that it's going to win international feature, right, guys? Is it not? Obvious, right?
No, Perfect Days.
Yeah, it does feel like that. Yeah.
Well, that's the one we've seen.
I know.
But I hear it's great, though. I hear it's great, and yeah. I really want to see Teacher's Lounge. I missed that window. That one, I generally went to try to go see, and I missed it by like a day. I'm like, fuck. Yeah. So I have to wait for that. I heard
it is his first role.
Sorry. Oh, really? Wow, I didn't know that. I mean, you have a good memory. I really missed that kid's face entirely in my head. Anyway, so Zona Metro seems to be like the clear winner. It's also my favorite of the two that I've seen. So, I mean, it's very limited here. Rob hasn't seen any of these, right?
No, I haven't. So.
I do really want to see Teacher's Lounge and Perfect Days. I don't think I care about Io Capitano. But imagine if France had submitted Anatomy of a Fall as their best foreign picture.
It would be up here. And it would be an issue.
And that would be impossible choice. That would be a really hard choice. But
I did not know that they had to submit the movies. I thought the Academy
the country has to submit.
The country has to submit. That's why movies like maybe Suzume would never get, things like that. They have to submit.
Interesting. I thought these movie buffs just watch all the movies.
Well, that's the thing, is that they can do that, but also sometimes, like Anatomy of a Fall right here, it's an international movie. It wasn't submitted, but they can choose it to nominate for other things that isn't international. You know what I mean? It's stupid. These rules are stupid, obviously, but that's how it's working.
We need our own awards show.
Yeah, because we aren't good at any of this. We're so good at makeup and hairstyling, which is next. I don't know shit about this.
So we're skipping makeup, right?
Yeah, I think we are. Yeah. Should we skip the score? What do you think about this, guys? Musical original score.
Yeah, I don't really know much.
So I don't know much either. So, yeah. I really
Let
don't.
Let me see.
Not to be like... I don't know.
John Williams.
I think it's just because you know the name. I know Ludwig Göransson.
Robbie Robertson.
That's like a fake name, right? Professorson?
No. Killers of the Flower Moon. Music original score. Robbie Robertson.
Right. I know. Fake name, though. But it looks like a fake name, I'm saying. God.
I'll go with the Oppenheimer guy.
Ludwig.
Göransson. That's
because I like saying
very
his name.
Musician name.
Okay. Original song. It seems to be that everyone's favorite, give or take, is I'm Just Can't.
I mean,
right.
Everywhere else, I might be a top.
Yeah. To her, I'm just a friend. That's the only really one I know. I mean, I've seen...
There's two
Barbie, yeah.
I haven't seen American Symphony, and I haven't seen Flaming Hot. So, Rob, have you seen Flaming Hot? Is that Fire Inside a banger or something? I mean,
it's okay, I guess. I didn't think it was going to be nominated for fucking...
So it seems to me like a Barbie song is going to make it. Now, which one? The Billie Eilish one?
I think it's going to be I'm Just Ken.
I mean, I'm Just Ken. That's a hit song. That's in my playlist.
It's the best banger.
It's in my playlist. The rest are not. That's the way to put it.
Honestly, I miss your fucking playlist, Oscar.
Which playlist?
I don't know, from like 15 years ago. You had some banger playlists.
Thank you. I was waiting for the joke, the sarcasm to drop, and it never did. Thank you. Anyway, we have nothing on this, right? We all kind of agree. I'm Just Ken, right?
Whatever. Yeah.
We're going to skip Best Picture for now. Production design. Do we want to talk about this one?
What is production design, Oscar? Tell the audience.
Why are you doing this? It says right there, production design, set decoration. So basically, what's built, what's
what
made,
does it say that? It just looks like production design.
It says production design, Sarah Greenwood, for example, set decoration, Katie Spencer. It says two names.
Oh.
If you read.
Well, the only one that really had sets was Poor Things. Everything else is just... Shout out in the
already. This is a terrible.
So
topic.
Go Poor Things, because they actually had sets.
They all had sets.
I mean, they had to traverse like all of Europe for Napoleon. What are you talking?
I'm gonna move on. Animated short film. I know nothing of these.
Same.
Pachyderm. I want that one just because it's fun to say that. War is Over, inspired by the music of John and Yoko. Oh, sounds terrible.
You're like live action short film.
Obviously. Letter to a Pig sounds cute.
Yeah. This.
Okay, live action short film.
Out.
By the way, these are all in theaters. You can watch them.
The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar. Let's go, Wes Anderson.
That's the only one I've seen, and I think it's fantastic. And yes, that's the one I pick.
All right.
It must suck though to be all these other noms, because this is such a category with names that no one knows. And then Wes Anderson just strolls in, makes one. Go fuck yourself. Stick to your feature films, motherfucker.
Could you imagine? Right. I mean, if it went right.
Yeah,
and then everyone goes, it's bullshit. You're supposed to be in feature film section.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and you made four of them. Right, who has all that money?
Oh, overachiever.
And you got fucking Benedict Cumberbatch and all of them, and Ben Kingsley. Right. All right, sound is I would say is somewhat important. Let's go for it. We have the creator, Maestro. Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning Part 1. Jesus Christ, that's a long title. Oppenheimer and The Zone of Interest. Right away, my pick is Zone of Interest. The sound makes that movie. The whole movie is in wide shots. There is no close-up of anyone. It's all sound.
Okay.
Yeah. However, Oppenheimer had pretty good sound, man. That's like, yeah. I think that's the one good thing he is good at. This guy is making great sound in this movie.
Yeah, hearing the chair creak. Yeah, I agree.
I mean, he can't do dialogue sound for shit, but like he can make any other sound design pretty great, at least in his movies. The creator also, I think, I remember having some pretty bomber-ass sound going on with the mixing and shit. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. This is not an area of expertise at all. I mean, none of these are, but these are less than the other ones. But my instinctual pick is Zone of Interest.
Well, they got rid of sound editing and mixing, right?
They just make it.
Oh.
That's why all these names are there.
Yeah.
Okay, now I get it.
Now you get it.
I was looking for the other one. I was like, what?
You were looking for it.
Yeah.
That's like that's like years ago now. It wasn't like this is a new thing.
All right, go Oppenheimer. I don't fucking know.
I mean, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, I can probably see that winning.
All right.
Okay. Visual effects. Rob, you want to say this one?
Yeah, we got The Creator, Godzilla, Menos Uno, Guardians of the Galaxy, Volume 3, Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning Part 1, and Napoleon, just because it's a long title. But yeah.
Yeah.
Godzilla Minus 1.
Agreed.
I mean, the ragdoll effects in that movie alone. Yeah.
I mean, what really they good did
with that budget is fucking fantastic.
Yeah,
it was a team of like
two people.
Eight people. Yeah. You know, it's like amazing.
No, they had to put eight. It was probably just two.
No, no.
I mean, you have at least four. You have Takashi Yamazaki.
How's this?
Kyoko Shibuya.
I don't. You know how you know people get nominated, and the people sometimes tape the reactions for YouTube or whatever for a big deal like the Oscars or Grammys or whatever. You ever seen those videos? They exist. I never really see them. I don't care about that kind of thing. But I did see the reaction to the visual effects team for Godzilla Minus One, and they were amazing. They were so ecstatic. They were so happy, over the moon.
I bet. Let's give it to them. Let's say all Godzilla.
Yeah, because
I mean, I don't disagree with you.
Because that movie needs all the attention.
Yeah.
I will say, though, Guardians of the Galaxy has some bomber, cool, weird color stuff going on in that for visual effects stuff. Yes. I think it is good.
Yeah.
I would also say The Creator is really amazing for the budget that it was able to.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think Godzilla and The Creator are examples of how you can do a lot more with a lot less than you think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all this money, you don't need $200 million every time.
It's the control effect, right?
Mm-hmm.
What you can do.
Control is a great example. Okay. Great example.
All right, let's get to Oscar's favorite part.
I mean, for me personally, yeah, it is. Well, Luke, give us adapted screenplay. Yeah,
I know, that's why I said it.
Writing an adapted screenplay. That means
it
was adapted from something else.
Yeah, we got that.
That's what adapted means. Not adopted.
You could have read them by now.
Nominees. American Fiction, shit. Written for the screen by Cord Jefferson. Barbie, written by Greta Gerwig and Noah Baumbach.
Baumbach. What the fuck? Are you reading?
Oppenheimer, written for the screen by Chris Knowles. Poor Thing, screenplay by Tony McNamara.
Dude, that's so easy. Why did you mess that one up?
I was going to fuck it up, but I didn't.
You did fuck it up.
The Zone of Interest, written by Jonathan Glazer.
Yes. Okay. Anyone want to jump in? I've seen all five.
American Fiction.
Okay.
And then maybe Poor Things.
Right, Poor Things is always like solid number two on all these picks.
It really is.
It really is?
Yeah. It really
it might be our secret winner, actually.
That's what kind of we're saying, yeah. I think the one I had the most fun with here is American Fiction. And it's the one that's just...
So I think, I agree with you. I think American Fiction nails its themes and its pacing the most.
I agree.
In the writing. I did really like Barbie. I don't think Oppenheimer should be up here. What the fuck? Personally, at all. Poor Things. Yeah, number two, 100%. And the Zone of Interest is the one. Is the one kind of thing that I don't know if it's great in the writing. You know, it's great in a lot of the other stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, so that's the one I probably wouldn't like. It's other than Oppenheimer, would be my least picked here, personally. Okay. Even though I really do dig that movie, I don't love it, but I think it was really, really well made and really something fucked up to get out of it too. But American Fiction is my clear number one. What I think is going to win might be, I don't know. This might be the Barbie win to give Greta Gerwig an Oscar, right? Because she's not in the director.
Because she made.
But why billions. Is that adapted screenplay?
Because it's adapted from a toy.
That's really why.
That's why. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's so stupid. So when Battleship got nominated for writing,
it didn't get nominated for writing. Take that back.
Oh my God, that was when he said that.
He said it was just a straight phrase until really we started laughing at his ass.
He really did.
So are you saying when Battleship got
oh, you suck.
What a great
Battleship.
Pull from 2010 or whatever that was.
All right.
That was funny.
So, all right. Penultimate one.
I think that's around the time I started choosing, like, yeah, I just can't watch every bad movie.
Yeah, you just can.
You just can.
You can. You have to pick a little bit of cherries here.
Right. You really fucking do.
Yeah, you do. That was, yeah, I think I felt the same way around that time, too, because I was watching everything back then, just, no matter what they gave
me. That's close to, like, Transformers time, too, right? Like, mm-hmm. Transformers, I think,
yeah.
I stopped after Dark 3.
Of the Moon.
I stopped after 3 also, yeah, and I watched Bumble. Or
I've done a great job of not watching them.
Yeah. Yeah, we could tell by your number of movies you've seen every year.
Yeah. You can.
Quality over quantity, Oscar.
Right, Oscar.
Hey, a lot of them is a quality. Anyway, writing, original screenplay. Let's go for it. Let's do Anatomy of a Fall here by Justine Triet, Arthur Harari. And then we got The Holdovers by David Hemmingson.
Hemming.
There's an R in there, Ralph. No, there isn't. My eyes are dying. Hemmingson, you're right. Maestro by Bradley Cooper and Josh Singer. I forgot he wrote it. Mm-hmm. May, December, my number one movie of the year, by the way, by Sammy Birch. Story by Sammy Birch and Alex Mechanic.
Probably mechanic.
Past Lives, which made Luke's top 10. Celine's Song.
Yes.
I wonder if Past Lives is the... That movie last year that I really wanted to win, the woman... The...
Oh, the one with the...
Women Talking?
Women Talking, thank you. Yeah. I wonder if it's that. Not that it has to be,
right.
But it seems like one of that, because it was the only nomination.
And I thought Women Quiet Women.
Oh my God.
The only thing you could have made that worse is if you said Quiet Up Women.
Yeah.
Quiet down. Settle down.
Sorry.
No one else has seen Past Lives?
I'm Women assuming. Settled?
No.
No. Mm. No. Is that your pick?
Honestly, kind of is, because I still think about that damn movie.
Oh, wow.
And that plot.
I think it serves, if anything, as a testament that you have a soul.
Wow.
You take that back.
You don't want a soul?
Yes, I'll take
it. Okay. All right. So for me, I mean,
just write
this
on
is hard.
A piece of paper and keep it on your desk.
This is hard, guys, because three of these are competing for my attention. December, Holdovers, and Fall. I really love Holdovers. That's what that writing is so good. Fun.
That would be a great second one for me.
But for real, probably Fall in December. It's just so good. Yeah. I may have to go with May, December. Not just because it's my number one, but because I overall think it's the better, has the better
I
solid
think
themes going on and
I
everything.
I think it's a great story, too. I don't
I also think it's
you.
A great story, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And I mean, Fall for
those
me
those
is,
are my top two for sure. Anatomy yeah. of a Fall in May, December. So.
What do sense. I think it's going to win? What do we think it's going to win?
This one was hopefully good. Not Maestro.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not knocking Maestro at all.
Take that, Cooper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he took it. Honestly, I think Anatomy of Fall is going to win by the Academy. I think that's what they're going to pick, mm-hmm. Personally. But, man, it would be cool if Past Lives gets it, too. I mean, according to Luke.
Yep.
All right. We're on to our last ones, and Roth is naming it. I'm going scrolling up. That's Picture.
Gotcha. Best Picture. So,
you don't have to name all the production people.
No, I won't. The best pictures we have are American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, Barbie,
Baba.
The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Past Lives, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest. Damn.
Guess my number two.
Guess your number two?
Yeah.
Oppenheimer.
Poor Things, because it's always been Poor Things this whole movie, this whole time.
Yeah.
No, legit, though. If Poor Things gets Best Picture, wouldn't that be fucking awesome?
It really would be.
Would be kind of cool.
It's still the most wild.
Yorgos and Emma Stone would get that, by the way.
Yeah.
Would they?
Yeah, they're both producers. They're both like, they're both like real tight in movies and shit. They really love it. Like, they do everything together.
That's cool.
Which is great to hear. I love that. Also, Margot Robbie, this is her opportunity to maybe get an Oscar for Barbie if she wins it, because she's part of that team as well.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Best Picture. This is such a strange pick. Mm. This is the most political pick either. Oh, this and the actors. Yeah. Because because it won Best Director doesn't mean it's about the Best Picture. Best Picture can mean a lot of things, right? That's why
I know.
Movie won. I forget which one.
Okay, well, let's see. What do we not want to win?
Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
No, what I don't want to win. I mean, Past Lives, I haven't seen it, so that's obviously I probably picked that.
I'm surprised it actually got nominated for that one.
Yeah.
Why? Why are you that surprised?
Because I feel like it's such an unknown movie.
Hmm. But that's also the kind of the point of this. I don't really understand this category, actually. Kinda, I don't understand it at all. It feels like they're snubbing people by putting them on. what was that one movie?
That was that one year where if everybody who got nominated was like, all right, like, why are we here? There should be like a two list nomination. Like,
yeah,
the only right. Everybody else is just like, you're just there. Like,
it's hard. You can't make this is a really divisive category. Half the people hate it when they win or lose what they want. Half the people love it on the opposite end. It's really hard. You never win on this one. What I think they're gonna go with personally is Killers of the Flower Moon.
I can see that,
and not give it to directing for him.
Right.
That's what I'm thinking too. Or both.
And what like, I want? And I think like, I want as a best picture that really encompasses the whole, for me is American Fiction. That does it for me. That like does it like does a whole like if, you know what it means to be a part of like a thing, what it's talking about, and you know, like I feel it's bigger than it is, but it's more grounded also, and it's more relaxed into it, is more entertaining to watch as well. I feel like that's the one that does it for me. Solid 2 will be Poor Things. What I think is going to win is Killers of the Flower Moon. But what I want is Fiction. And for real, Poor Things. I'm not kidding. It's a solid number 2 every time because
yeah,
it's that good, but almost great. Oh, yes.
No, I hear you.
What do you guys say?
I don't disagree with it, what you're saying with Killers. Giving it to Killers is like the... not the safe one, but it feels like...
Well, I think the safe one is Oppenheimer for them.
Yeah, Oppenheimer.
You think Oppenheimer's are safe?
Oh, Barbie. No, actually Barbie, because Oppenheimer might get all Barbie the other awards billions. And Barbie might get this one.
Right. So
right, because Barbieheimer.
It is kind of crazy how Poor Things, I don't know it's a wild movie, but it's like, it is like that. Like, who's going to complain if Poor Things wins?
A lot of people, because a lot of people would see that Barbie or Oppenheimer didn't win, and that's the two divisive movies of the year that came out the same weekend.
Just because they made money doesn't make say it's good.
But you're right, 100%. But in this case, they are good. They're not bad. And and there was real contention between them. And I'm not saying between their existences, but I'm saying it was a thing.
Sure.
It was an event, you know. It was a big deal. Yeah. Not just for the money, but all the eyeballs. So I feel like Barbie and Oppenheimer are the actual ones that one of those two are probably going to win. I think Killers also more, but Barbie might be the real winner here if they give all the others to Oppenheimer, which I don't want, obviously.
Yeah.
But if they give not much at all to Oppenheimer and the other categories, they might give it here for best pick.
Yeah. That's interesting.
That's how they think about it. That's how they do this shit. That's why that one movie from Apple TV
I could see the American Fiction one moving also because it does feel very modern.
That'd be awesome.
I mean, that'll be the indie darling movie that gets everything. I mean, it's not indie movie. I mean, is it technically indie? I have no idea.
I don't know.
But it's a low-key movie, right? That kind of blew up on theaters.
If Past Lives wins, I will eat my hat.
Fucking, I'm recording this. You know that. Yeah, it's not going to win. I don't know why Zone of Interest is here. I mean, I get why, but I don't know.
Because it has interest.
Right. Holdovers would be cool, too. The Christmas movie. Okay, yeah. Any other thoughts on this?
No.
It's going to be a wild ride, boy.
Obviously, so those are our talks and our discussion of the nominations for the 96 Academy Awards. We're going to take a break. When we come back, the Oscars would have been already done. The ceremony would be done, and we're going to talk about the ceremony and the winners and what we feel about what happened there. Maybe something controversial happened. Another slap? I have no idea. Stay tuned.
Magic of time travel.
Stay tuned in literally a few seconds. But why don't we take a break anyway? And welcome back to the magic of time and editing. The Oscars are done. This is a few days after.
Crazy.
I'm here with just Roth this time. We have a split schedule for this for the other parts of this show. Anyway, as I already explained at the top of the thing, which hasn't been recorded yet, which is funny. Anyway. Okay, Ralph. So, first, let's talk about the ceremony. What did you... I know we both saw it. Not together, but we saw it. What did you think of the ceremony?
It felt like with the commercials. So, I saw the SAG Awards also this year. This was the award ceremonies I saw. And that was on Netflix, and it was just on a whim. And the SAG Awards, Netflix, no commercials. Complete opposite. So they did have it a little intermissions, but it was all like, we're going to go back and talk to somebody while we prep for the next one.
Okay.
This one did feel very bloated with like, we're doing two things. Okay, commercial break. You're like, wow. And it was like commercial break. Like, we're all taking a break, guys, you know?
Yeah.
Right. It did feel very footballish. Like, this is a forced football commercial break. So that felt very like we had to elongate this. You could have saved like a half hour on the show. Easily with commercials, probably more. So it did that feel very pronounced to me, especially in this era of watching everything on streaming and on commercials.
Yep.
I did start the show late. I did not go back to see those winners. I do know who won them. I started the show like 45 minutes in. I started right as Billie Eilish was singing.
Okay. So, I think she was the first, if not the second, of the five songs that played live.
I think it was the second because I don't remember there being a first. I could have sworn I only heard four of them. So
I'm really bad at remembering that stuff anyway.
Nonetheless, it was also, what's his name? Kimmel? Was that Kimmel?
Yeah, Jimmy Kimmel hosted. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like Kimmel was like, he very much tried to embrace his Ricky Gervais. But at the same time, he's like, I'm on ABC, so I want to keep my job at ABC. So he would push the boundaries a little bit, so which was cool. There was some cool bits that I found cool as well because I was live texting Luke throughout the process because you didn't want to know. Right. And he did want to know. So I was just texting him because literally it was when you were like, I'm going to mute this conversation. And I was like, oh, say less. And we just started texting each other instead.
Yeah.
I thought there was some cool bits. I thought... the performances were great as well. I also feel like the very ending was they should have done something better to bring out for hosting for the best movie.
Who did it?
It was the guy's Al Pacino.
Okay, yeah, that's right. And he wasn't very right.
He looked like I just took these. I just finished his joints. Totally ate some edibles, came on stage. I have no clue what's going on. I know
the way he just announced it, almost under his breath. I was like,
was very like,
yeah. I'm not saying he's too old, but I think bring somebody else. I don't know.
Bring somebody else, 1,000%. Somebody with more energy. That's more energy. Like, I think you're trying to show, like, hey, look, this guy is one of the best actors, you know, recognizable.
Bring
actors.
Back naked John Cena. That's fine.
I thought Naked John Cena was fantastic. I thought it was one of the great bits that was done, you know? For example, that was a really good bit. I thought some of it obviously felt overplayed, you know, but I thought the Ryan Gosling stuff was fun too when they were up there.
Yes, you know? And his musical number was the one I remember
the most. And his musical number was great.
I know people remember Eilish more, but I did.
The Eilish was very powerful. So watching that, I was like, wow, she gave a great performance. She honestly did. And
yeah, she did.
It almost doesn't even sound like Billie Eilish's kind of music that she would do. But at the same time, I was like, I kept thinking to myself, like, didn't she win before?
And I was for the James Bond song. Did.
And then when they announced her, and spoiler for her winning, I was like, that's right. I go, James Bond just opens doors for people, doesn't it? And that's what I've always liked about James Bond, because it's always been like a category they're always like sneaking in. Like,
right, every few years.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. You're like,
I don't know how many times they win, but I think they're often up there at least.
They're often up there for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I had fun. I guess some of the bits were fun. Kimmel didn't do a horrible job. Besides also like just him advertising at the end, it's ABC, it's whatever.
My thinking about Kimmel is that I wouldn't have picked him for hosting this year again, but. I'm also like not totally against it, but I feel like now it's stale. Like we should switch it up next time.
I do.
I would have switched it up already, but like I would have been, I could be convinced to have him one more year, meaning this year. But yeah. Like next time, we gotta switch it up, guys.
Yeah, you do. I don't mind him coming.
He's very safe, and like
he does feel very safe, but not like Jimmy Fallon safe.
Jimmy Fallon, did he do it? I never did. Did he do
it? He's never done it, but Jimmy Fallon is like, and I'm saying like the comedy hosting late night shows. I think Fallon is like the most like safest.
Like well, he's never done it, so I can't say that.
No, I'm just being like, as a comedian.
I'm saying, as Oscar host, I'm saying he's like the safest one, and I think we should change it up.
Yeah. I don't disagree, yeah. Bring Whoopi back.
No. No.
I agree. Don't bring her back.
No.
But I do remember her a lot, though.
Yeah, well, yeah, because Billy Crystal and her were like the top two when we were growing up.
Yeah.
Kids Ask Your Parents.
Right.
I remember the Moulin Rouge bit and so many others. Remember she came in from the ceiling. Anyway.
I do.
As far as like other stuff, I think that John Cena is my most memorable, give or take. And that is some strange commitment that guy has to comedy with his body. He has a new movie out also that he's like doing crazy shit in. I haven't seen it. I'm trying to think. I did like the bit between, like you mentioned before, the Barbie and Oppenheimer. Was it Gosling and what's her name? She was nominated for an actor for a role. Emily Blunt. Sorry. And I like that stuff. It was fine. It wasn't too long. I like how they said they're adding casting for a category next time. Did you get that?
I didn't see that, no.
So they mentioned it. Well, I mean, you were watching it, by the way, but maybe you were like something else. They said that they're going to add the category of casting director as a category to nominate people
next year. I'm surprised. So they gave also is this the first time they've ever given a nod to stunt doubles or stuntmen?
So that's the thing. It's not a... it's like they do that every once in a while. See, I thought they were going to put in a category for it, like make a thing.
That's what I thought they were doing too.
I thought that's what they said years past, maybe last year. I don't remember exactly. But instead, what they did is that they just highlighted it this year.
Yeah, but they just did like an in-memorance. I'm like, wait, right. Did they die?
But the Oscars that. Remember we grew up, they did it a lot. They would like emphasize 1 year in production design and they'll go into it for like 5-10 minutes. Yeah. I feel like that's what they're doing. Like, I don't know if they'll bring it back next year. You know what I'm saying? Sure. Like, I don't think they'll do stunt again. I think that they were just highlighting an aspect of filmmaking that most people maybe don't know about. Again, in the same fashion that I remember growing up, I could be wrong, but I think that's what they're doing. I don't think it's an actual category. I don't think they were actually doing anything crazy about it. But I like the casting idea. That's cool. Is there like a...
I don't mind the casting one at all. I think that's a pretty cool one.
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough job.
I do feel like, I don't disagree, but I do feel like when there is that good casting, whenever we review a movie, we do end up going, the fucking cast.
Yeah, we mentioned it many times.
We do mention it many times. Like, wow, it's just the synergy and all the stuff that happens, you know.
And that's supposed to be like, this guy should be the villain, not this guy. Like, yeah, we say that.
Right. No, I mean, we do see that, yeah. And I mean, it does. I think it does play a big role. And it is cool that they get announced.
Yeah. What about, now this will sneak into what we think of the winners, but like any speeches that you remember or didn't like or whatever?
I was actually, so the Godzilla Minus One.
Yes.
They should have just done it in Japanese, in my opinion.
Yeah, I hate that too.
They struggled a lot. And I get they were catering, but the guy was obviously very nervous and he was very excited. And he struggled a lot to say it, and he was fumbling. And I don't know. I can't remember. Did they play the music on him? I don't think they did. I think they were just like, I think maybe towards the very end they were. But I'm like, guys, he's just struggling through this. Like, just let him get to it, right?
Yeah.
But he should have just said it in Japanese and then be like, please add subtitles, like, or something, you know?
Yeah,
like, right. And it would have, I think that would have been really cool instead, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to do it on live TV for sure. You have a 2-second window between live and broadcast.
It is, but at the same time, I also feel like I maybe you know, or just
get a translator.
Yeah, get a translator.
Also, get a translator. That's the big deal.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. I'm sure one of the many Asian people, Asian actors there, could have fucking translated for them.
Yeah, so, yeah. I'm not saying get Michelle Yeoh to do it, although that's Japanese. No, I know she's Chinese. I'm just saying, like, don't get an actor, but like, just get someone to do it.
But you could have had anybody, really. I mean, I just, yeah, I don't know.
Right,
but
I mean, besides, like, keep the translators in the back. Like, don't no one spoiled anything, you know.
Just I do feel like that. They win. So that one was memorable for sad reasons on that end. Because, but I mean, good for them at the same time. It was awesome that they also had golden Godzillas and golden and black Godzillas to like show strength.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
so
right.
That was really cool. What's it called? Then there was like I said, I missed the first hour, so I missed. I know the Miyazaki wasn't there. And I know, what's it called? I thought Billie Eilish's was like, I'm totally high. So that was like, I'm just up here, you know? And I was like, okay, just fucking get it over with. Cillian Murphy couldn't sound more fucking Irish.
Yeah, he's hella Irish.
He's so Irish. I mean, like, or so Scottish, Irish.
I don't remember.
Yeah. I mean, no, he said he was Irish. So it was just like really thick. And it just came out like, oh, wow. Like, and it's just so great to see those, like, you know, accents come out really strong.
I really like Court Jefferson's speech.
I didn't see that one. So that's the one.
American Fiction adapted screenplay.
You did tell me.
Yeah, that's one of the first
ones. Go back to it.
Yeah. That was like the second one they announced, I think. And so, he was saying, like he was saying about movies in general, he was talking about Hollywood in the sense like how the power of instead of investing $200 million to make one movie, you know, spend that to make 20 movies instead, 20 movies like American Fiction, you know, and like to devote resources into better storytelling. You know, it was like, it was a very good, basically what I believe too. So I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
I liked how he spent time on that. Obviously they all say, you know, families and their agents or whatever.
The one that went on actually quite long and I was surprised they let him go on too long was the documentary feature film for the 20 Days in Mariupol.
Oh, yeah, because it was political, right?
It was very political. Right?
Yeah,
they did lead him, right? And but I was like, that's when I was like, I was just like, okay, it was political. And he, you know, he even said it like, this is a movie I don't want to win for, but at the same time, like, it highlights.
Right. He opens up with that thing, like, this movie. I wish this movie didn't exist because of the war, right?
Right, no, exactly. But, I do love that. Like, I do love how he opened, but then he kept going on to about something to the point where, like, I just lost him a little bit. And I was like,
I lost him too.
And I was like, what are you doing? And I was like,
I couldn't tell you what he talked about. Yeah.
I couldn't tell you either. So, and I think he was just rambling because, okay. So that one was
also, that's a win that's like meant to be, like, it's very timely.
Oh, 1,000%.
You know what I'm saying? The rest are not timely.
No.
At least to my knowledge, I haven't seen any of them, so I really don't know. But I know about three of them, and they're not about anything normal now.
The other one that was like probably like couldn't be more on point for the type of person he is was Downey Jr. Downey Jr. was
He was Tony Stark.
It was. He was Tony Stark. Yeah, he was just like, you know, if dad knows best, you know, kind of situation.
You know, I think in Iron Man 2, there's a speech he gives up on something. He wins some award. I remember in one of those movies. And I felt like he brought that character back in that scene. I mean, in this one.
Yeah, he really was. Also, like, the way he said it, because we all know, like, you know, he came from, since Kiss Kiss Bang Bang was his resurgence of movies, right? And then getting Iron Man and getting stuff like that, right? Part of it, so, like, really, and it was like he's saying his wife when, you know, bringing him back as a stray dog or as a orphan dog or whatever. It was a nice little analogy, right, that he said. So, like, and I think that come across as well. I didn't see Davine Joy Randolph. How did she do? Did you see that one?
I did see that one. I saw that. I should be said. I was in Miami when this aired, and Hulu didn't upload it.
After it.
Until 9 a.m. the next day. I thought they were going to do it at midnight. So
you're like, refresh.
Refresh. No, I was. Like, I was up till like 2 in the morning. Like, nope. I mean, I was going to be up anyway, but it's not like I was killing my time here. Anyway, so I had to wait. And I was like, oh, maybe I won't have a chance so much because, you know, we had a layover in LaGuardia. And no, we had hella delays. I was home almost 12 hours later. Oh, no, it was like 8 hours.
You could watch
it in the airport waiting for the fucking plane.
Yeah, I watched
the
whole thing. You could have watched the thing multiple times.
Right. I could have watched it three times if I want. So I finished a bulk and a half. It was a lot of stuff I did.
So I did see her win in the SAG Awards because she won SAG also for the same role. And she was ecstatic, you know.
Yeah, she was ecstatic. Right. She was like a blubbering mess almost. Not blubbering. Not she wasn't doing that, but it wasn't that bad. But it was very, very... She was like the Kihei Kwan of the year, so to speak, and the emotional...
Okay.
When, you know, the surprise of it. I was a little surprised too, in a good way, of course. She was like my second favorite thing in the holdovers, obviously Paul Giamatti being number one.
Yeah.
Have you seen that, by the way?
No, I'm gonna watch it soon. It's not, so I'm actually gonna get Peacock for that free week just to watch it.
I almost want to buy it. I think it's worth buying. Maybe I'll just buy it.
We'll buy it and I'll watch it on your account.
Because it's really worth it.
Yeah. The only thing, Emma Stone's win, her reaction for the win was like, I won. It was very much like, I am not expecting to win right now. Right. I really wasn't. And I mean,
it's her second one.
It is her second one, but it's actually her first for leading role, right? The other one was supporting?
No, she won for a leading role in La La Land. That was a leading role.
Oh, yeah, it was. I don't know why I thought she won for something else.
No. Maybe she was nominated for supporting stuff, but I don't think so. I think maybe for The Favorite she was nominated. I don't remember, but I think that was leading also.
For The Favorite, they did both supporting. I remember they put both.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right. You're right, because the other girl won. Olivia Colman won for that.
Correct, exactly.
For leading. That's right. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I was surprised she won. We all said Lily Gladstone was going to get it.
Right, and then, but our number two was there, right?
And I remember where I remember her from. She was in Reservation Dogs, and they showed a clip of her.
Uh-huh.
Wait, did they show a clip of her, or am I confusing two? No, they didn't. I saw some other ABC stuff, like red carpet stuff, and they went into detail, like the career details on all these actor nominations, right?
Yeah.
And when they went to Lily Gladstone, this is off topic. Well, not off topic. It's on brand, but like not the ceremony.
Sure.
And they go into Lily Gladstone and they show her some clips on Reservation Dogs. Like, oh, that was her in that prison thing. That's where I know her from.
Yeah.
And like that, she was great in that. As like this real minute character comes in and just nails it and leaves. And like, oh, I've seen her before in acting. And I'm glad she didn't quit. She was going to be a murder hornet hunter or something. She quit, actually.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Apparently, Scorsese is the king of bringing actors out of retirement. Because he obviously got Daniel Day-Lewis back and Joe Pesci back because he fucking
retired. Yeah, you're right.
And now Lily Gladstone, she had just recently stopped acting. She's like, I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm going to focus my attention on hunting murder hornets. For
so
real.
Where does he go? So for real. She goes, come on. She's like,
well, yeah, when Scorsese calls you, how do you say no, right?
Right.
And but I really thought that either her or Hooler were going to get it. But I think they were like, then maybe they didn't want to give it to another newbie. I don't know what they were doing. But... Yeah. Like we said in the last segment, is that I'll be happy if Poor Things is never my number one choice, but I'm always happy if Poor Things wins.
It was a fun movie. Yeah, it was great. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I also just didn't think Oppenheimer's gonna win so much because it was winning so much technical stuff that I was like, oh man, they're just gonna give it everything else. They're just gonna give it the technical and be like, fuck you, Oppie, you know?
That's been a trend in the past, but not for a while though. So I don't know.
No, you're right, but I really thought they were gonna go back to that and be like, you know what? They were like, nah, we're gonna double down on this bitch.
They really liked Oppenheimer a lot.
They really did. It's a little sad because it also like it's like for other works that are out there that I feel are more just so original works of art, you know, that it just, I feel like highlighting those are always, championing those movies are always the best because it does feel like we don't need to use the, you know, it's an original work, you know, it's not just like adapted or anything like that. Not that you can't adapt everything, but I don't know. I feel championing those are like at least Hollywood saying we believe in the true artistic, as true as artistic as we can. It is what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Not taking away from it. I mean, it's still a good movie.
I mean, we all predicted that Nolan was high chance of getting it, and he did.
It was a high chance for Nolan winning, yeah, for sure. Also, he was the second time he was up there. He was like, all right, cool, I'm out.
Yeah, yeah. I heard it. I heard the first one, but not the second one so much. I mean, I tuned out, I mean. They gave Justin Triet, of course, a screenplay, but not directing, of course. I like what she said too in her win for screenplay. That was really good. Yeah, so disappointing that Wes Anderson wasn't there to win his live action short.
But a great thing that Jimmy Kimmel said. Did you hear what he said afterwards?
I don't remember.
Not being there?
What did he say?
I only know because I texted Luke about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because Luke said the same thing. This is great. So I put Wes won. And he said, nice, Wes needs Oscars. And I go, he was a no-show. And he put, he's busy building sets.
That's right.
And then Kimmel said he's probably building a corduroy diorama.
Yeah,
And I was like, that's such a I could actually envision him doing that, which is fucking hilarious. And then Luke just put LOL. That's so fucking true. And I'm like, yeah, it wasn't like a good like, hey, I can get this easy fucking laugh. It was great.
So I also like that I was a little vindicated. And I think in the last segment, I don't think we talked about it anywhere else, where I mentioned a Zone of Interest, how that movie's all sound, and it won for Best Sound. I'm like, that movie's sound
is entirely
what's going to make that movie a winner. Like, what makes that movie like watchable and enjoyable at all? I mean, it's not enjoyable, you know.
Right.
Intriguing, I mean. And it won for Best Sound. I was kind of happy about that.
Yeah, and I am glad that sound is in its own category now, not split from like, what was it?
Sound mixing and sound editing. Well, the sound guys don't like that, I'll tell you that right now.
I'm sure they don't, but the problem is it's really hard for other people to just kind of like...
You know, also,
it also opens up for another thing, another award to be, you know.
Yeah.
Another type of category like casting, right?
Right. And as far as in general, as far as like Oppenheimer getting all the big awards, I don't agree with Best Picture. I think Barbie was the more cultural touchstone of the year. If that's what they're going for Best Picture anyway, because that's what they did with that other Deaf movie and that other one before that, I don't remember.
Right.
And I don't think it fits. I think American Fiction or Barbie are the ones that fit the best. Even Holdovers fits better, in my opinion, than Oppenheimer.
That was interesting.
I didn't love that. Sure. That's why we were also like, I don't know what's going to win. We didn't even consider Oppenheimer that much. I mean,
no, I really didn't. Just because of the fact that, like, I mean, Barbie for sure deserves to be there, right? Like, and it felt like the movie of the. But I think they just didn't. I think I don't know, something about like Hollywood never wanting to give like credits to like the big Hollywood blockbuster movies that they make or something,
right?
Like, hey, you know what, you got a lot of money already, fucking be happy about that, bitch, kind of like thing, you know?
Right, yeah.
I'm like, okay, like, you guys gave it to Titanic, which made a ton of money for you guys also that year, you know, just saying.
That's right, it did win. Uh-huh. So The Last Repair Shop documentary short film, when they were showing it, I'm like, I recognized some of the clips from the thing, you know, when they were like announcing them. I'm like, oh, and I instantly knew what that movie was about. And I remember I had seen like a special on it, not the short film, just like a special on it, like a podcast and then led to an article. I'm like, oh, if I know what that was, I would have definitely guessed that.
Because
it's so Hollywood. It's such a Hollywood.
Well, it's also in LA, isn't it? Or in California?
It's about saving instruments and shit for students. I'm like, oh, yeah, it's going to win. I was like, oh, it's like, yeah, that was funny. I like how Poor Things got costume for sure, makeup, set design. Those were definitely the big stuff that got noticeable in that movie. Animated feature, Hayao Miyazaki. I think that was almost a no-brainer.
Yeah, but we talked about that, right? So in the prior segment, we talked about like the moment we knew that Spider-Man won the first time, it's not winning the second time. So obviously the Boy and the Heron should be the winner here. I hate this. Be political about it, but that's kind of how it is. I do think animation wise the Spider-Man movie is like doing amazing things, you know,
right?
Just alone it's so great, but you already gave it to it for being amazing in animation as well before. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I mean, we'll see what the third one does.
Yeah, we will see.
Anything else you want to mention about the Oscar ceremony?
No, I mean, it just felt...
Do you have a biggest disappointment, like, in your mind?
I mean, I do feel like Oppenheimer just kind of stealing everything was kind of shitty.
Yeah, the best picture is probably the biggest one. Actor and supporting, like, I would not have... I don't know. I mean, RDJ, I get it. but Sterling came
back. Yeah, I did feel like we're just giving it to him. We're giving it to him because he's due, I guess.
Yeah,
that's really it. I didn't feel anything else crazy. I guess, yeah, I do feel more Best Picture the more that you mention it. That's the one that you should have been able to give it to anything else because it already won everything else that it needed to.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
That's yeah, fine. I'm happiest with the writing. I really like those winners. Yeah. On both of them. Like, yeah, super happy about that. They always give that. It's like they always do that kind of category right because they're gonna do them dirty later. And the other categories.
Right.
I feel like that's how that
that's kind of shitty though. That's kind of shitty that that's what happens.
That's how it feels. Yeah. All right. So that is our segment of the Academy Awards, the 90 something. What is it? 96?
94th, though.
94th? Is it really?
96. You're 96. Right. You were right. I was my right. Bad. No. But I was thinking 2024, so sorry.
Yeah, we're close to the 100th. Damn. They better do all the... They bring all the showstoppers for that one, right? They have to, right?
You have to. I mean, this is the problem. I think they've been, like, touching base on things like that by bringing these other bigger actors, but I'm like, they're so old. Just fucking get rid of them kind of thing. Like, you can't... Like,
or make sure that they're lucid.
Yeah, and do anything. Give them fucking the right drugs to be up there, you know?
Yeah, give them Viagra.
Right, or do whatever, what's his name, Santana does to do his play. Because I'm telling you right now, we saw Santana live, okay? Mm-hmm. You're like, how's this man still alive and playing? Because he's playing some great guitar riffs, right?
Right.
And you're like, oh, this guy obviously went in the back really quick. Took some fucking shots of something, came right back out and was like,
like that Mr. Girl. Burns, those injections he was getting to date that one girl. Yeah.
1000%. That's exactly what he said happens.
That's exactly
what it exists. Let's get it going, you know?
Get some plutonium in there. Anyway, those are our thoughts on the ceremony. Hope you all liked it or enjoyed it, or if they didn't watch it, didn't care, then it's fine. Thank you for listening regardless. Not that we're the first source for the Oscars at whatsoever. We're like the last source, but still, thank you.
I did want to mention one thing. What did you think before we end this? What did you think of how they did the actors and the stuff in the leading role? They brought like the five.
Oh, I love that. I love that. I like that. They brought like five random ones, not the last five, just five random. Yeah,
five random ones. Well, the last one for sure, but not the...
Oh, yeah, right. The last one for sure. You're right. And they all like give their piece on someone.
I thought it was so cool. I mean, kind of bogus that they did my boy, what's it called? For Rustin, for Coleman Domingo, the black guy with black eye. But it was okay. You
know? I noticed that too, but like, nah, that's fine. They did it. They combined this some other times.
Yeah, but I thought it was so well done, and to just be like,
I hope they bring that back.
That was such a nice touch. Yeah,
you're right. That was good. Anyway, those are our thoughts. And that is it for our show, actually. So you have been listening to Another Movie Podcast. Don't forget that, we just came back from break, but from now on, don't forget that we come out every other Friday? Wednesday? What
I think it's Wednesdays.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's every other Wednesday.
Every other Wednesday?
We record every other Friday, and then you put it on Wednesday?
Sounds right. Yes, that's right. No, you're right.
Or is it opposite? Do we record on Wednesdays and put it out every other Friday?
Every other Wednesday. I'm going to go with Wednesday. Every other Wednesday. Right. Anyway, so that's when we come out every other, so bi-weekly show. We have Rob here is going to pick the next films for us.
That's right.
We don't have a marathon set up yet, but we will have one by the next show.
We will. So we do have three movies that we're going to watch.
Mm-hmm.
The one that is going to be available for everybody to watch now, or more easily available, is Past Lives. That is on Showtime or Paramount Plus. And then the ones that are out currently are going to be The Promised Land that is on iTunes. Where else is it?
Prime Video? It's rentable on Amazon too.
VOD. The one. Yeah, yep. VOD.
Mm-hmm.
Or Oscar's iTunes account. And the movie that we're going to watch in theaters, hopefully, is Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
Oh, we are watching Ghostbusters. Okay, cool.
Yeah. That's right.
So on Blockbuster, one international, the Past Lives in America, I think, and one indie, Darling, Best Picture nominee.
Yep.
All right, those are our films for next time. Until then, I'm Oscar.
Yes, he is, but I'm Ralph.
Yeah, later.
In case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.